views or opinions expressed in interviews or commentary are those of the individual speaking and do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KUP's parent or any of its affiliates or employees, including the individual speaking.
Last week on Animorphs.
Yes, Jake, you are our leader. You are the one who can bring us all together and help us to defeat the controllers.
This is a big decision. Yeah, let's wait a while. Wait for a while.
I agreed.
In the meantime, no one say anything to anyone.
If the police have been infiltrated by the controllers, who knows how many others have, too.
We all spun around, down the gravel and dirt road came a single black and white car.
The cops!
Tobias cried.
Can we help you, officer?
We're making some inquiries,
he said, still looking at Cassie.
We're looking for some kids who were shooting off fireworks in the construction site last night, across from the mall.
Tom is one of them. Your brother is a controller.
Maybe this sharing is an organization for controllers, but the first step is to find out more. And I think maybe the way to do that is to check out this meeting of the sharing tonight.
I have to go for a while now. The full members have a separate meeting. You guys stay here and have fun.
I'm getting into that secret meeting.
I said I had to know. I had to be dead sure. It still seemed totally ridiculous that I was even thinking about becoming a dog.
But it might be the one who's my brother, Jake. I know he goes to the construction site sometimes. That's why I brought him here tonight. So we could either make him ours, or kill him.
We can't tell you who we are or who it's too risky. The thing you should know is that everyone is in really big trouble. Yeah, even me.
Thank you, little Miss Cheerful.
Oh, I have a very bad feeling about this.
Okay, we're back. You're listening to KDUP 1580 AM or at kdup.up.edu. You can call in right now at 503-943-7121, or if you're on campus and lazy, 7121. That's the extension.
Or you can email us at animorph_radio@yahoo.com.
Yeah. Well, where are we at in the book?
I think we left off. Jake was going to inspect a meeting of the sharing, and which is a front organization for the controllers. Mm-hmm. And he was a dog, and they were talking about Jake because his brother Tom is a controller, and he thinks that Jake might know something. So he brought him to the meeting to either kill him or put a yerk in his head.
Wow. Imagine that. Tim, I will never try to kill you. I take that back. Most likely never try and kill you. Anyway. So if we want to accept callers or anything, that would be cool right now.
Now would be the time.
Now would be the time before we really get into this thing because it's about to get intense. So, let's just move on.
All right.
You want to do voices or narration?
What do you want to do?
Well, I'm open. I'll do narration.
All right.
Chapter 15. Either make him ours or kill him? I felt like someone had punched me. I told myself that Tom was a human controller. Some slimy, snotty slug from another planet was in his brain controlling him. When he talked to me, it wasn't even Tom. Not really. It was a yerk. My brother. One of them. Chapman. One of them. They were everywhere. Everywhere. How are we going to stop them? How could we even try? If they could take my own brother from me, if they could take Tom, then how was I going to be able to stop them? Yes!
Caller!
All right. I've never done this, so which button's which?
All right, you push that one.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then...
Hey, you're on kdup.up.edu. How's it going? All right, well, that was almost a call.
Yeah, phantom caller.
All right, so we'll just get back at it.
Okay.
My brother, one of them, if they can stop them. It was insane. Marco was right. I think if I had been fully human right then, despair would have just overpowered me. But dogs don't know despair. It was Homer's simple, happy, hopeful mind that saved me. For a while, I just sort of let go and drifted into dog consciousness. I didn't want to think. I didn't want to be a human being. For a while, I just wandered around the dunes and smelled things. But I knew I had a job to do. After a while, I let go of the simple happiness of the dog and forced myself back into painful reality. I waited and listened some more to the meeting. But I was still so upset, I didn't really track on a lot of... Ah! And CJ just entered the door. Which is awkward. If you haven't noticed, he hasn't been actually in the building yet. So, anyway.
Would you just start talking?
What?
Stop being silent.
What?
We've already introduced you.
Fine.
Okay. Sorry. We're a little upset with him because he's late.
Not my fault.
It is too.
Mo's fault. She did a lot of singing tonight.
Mo's fault. Whatever. Anyway. Okay.
Yeah.
Where are we?
For a while, I just wandered around the dunes and smelled things.
But I knew I had a job to do.
I bet you did.
After a while, I let go of the simple happiness of the dog and forced myself back into painful reality. I waited and listened some more to the meeting, but I was still so upset. I didn't really track on a lot of what was being said. I just kept hearing it over and over in my head. Make him ours or kill him.
That was Tom. It's
more like... Oh, make him ours or kill him.
By the way. Ow! No. What are you doing?
I'm doing this.
All right. Are you going to talk or just
try
and hide?
I'll talk.
Okay. The one other thing that did stick in my mind was Tom discussing with some other guy, some other controller, the schedule for going to the Yerk pool. He'd just been and was feeling good, he said. He'd be heading back on Monday night. That was the slug in his head talking. The Yerk that controlled Tom needed to return to the Yerk pool. Then I heard another voice. Cassie. I slunk quickly around the back of the dune to get closer. But I could hear clearly Cassie's voice and another voice it took me a minute to recognize. It was the policeman. The same policeman.
Hey, what are you doing back here?
What are you doing?
No, don't worry.
Okay. The policeman demanded.
I was just looking for shells,
Cassie said.
This is just for four members.
The policeman said gruffly.
Private business, you fella. Yes, sir,
Cassie said in her most humble voice. I got to where I could see them, although I have to tell you, dog sight is not exactly great. Everything is like an old TV with bad color and all blurry. The policeman was staring hard at Cassie. Cassie was trying to be brave, but I could smell the fact that she was afraid.
Okay, take off. There's nothing to see here.
I wonder what that smells like.
Fear.
Okay, take off. There's nothing to see here.
The policeman said at last.
But I have my eye on you. Get back with the others.
Cassie turned and headed away as fast as she could walk. I caught up with her. I guess seeing a dog come bounding out of nowhere startled her, because she jumped.
Oh, it's you,
she said.
Yeah, that was close. What were you doing there?
She shrugged.
Just wanted to make sure you were okay.
Aww.
Oh, that's what she said. Wait, that is what she said. Nice try, Doug.
Jerk.
That's an awkward moment.
Nice.
Hey there.
Jot that down.
It's jotted. I was safer than you were,
I pointed out. We got back to the spot where Rachel, Marco, and Tobias were waiting.
I didn't even want to morph back into my human body. I knew that I could just let myself go again, and in a few minutes my dog brain would forget why my human brain was sad. If someone would just throw a stick out into the surf, I could go after it. The water would make me happy. The chasing would make me happy. Now I knew why Tobias was so reluctant to leave his hawk body. Being an animal could be a nice way to escape from all your troubles. Pity points?
Not really. That's kind of general.
Okay.
Pitiful nature of human nature.
All right. I began to morph back into my human body. Cassie and Rachel turned and looked out toward the water.
Because he's naked.
When I was completely myself again and naked, I said,
Marco, you were right. Tom is a controller.
Marco, avoiding looking at me, said, oh,
did not
look pleased about being right. I told them what Tom had said to Chapman about bringing me to the meeting to either use me or kill me.
Wait a minute. Chapman is one of them too?
Rachel asked.
Our Chapman? Mr. Chapman, the assistant principal?
That's right, Missy.
I think he's some kind of leader.
I said.
It was him the other night at the construction site. He was the one who told the Hork-Bajir just to keep the head. That is so Chapman.
Marco said.
I suggest we get the heck out of here.
Tobias said.
No, it's okay.
I said.
Chapman told Tom that there would not be any killing at the sharing meeting.
Really interesting part there.
Yeah, that's really the best part of the narrator is getting to, you know, I said, she said, he said, I said,
agreed.
Again. I agreed. Oh, yeah, they throw those curveballs in there every once in a while. It's great.
No, it's okay.
Wait, no, it's not okay. It's kind of hard.
No.
Perfect! We were digressing anyway. Which button is it?
The blue one.
This thing. Hung up already.
No, you hung up on me. You pushed this button first and then pushed that one.
Yeah.
This one picks up the phone. This one puts them on the air.
Right. You want to pick it up and then put it on the air.
Okay, fine.
You know what? Anyway, we're going to do the setup that we were planning on doing.
Okay, let's try this again.
You're on.
Oh, okay, no. Oh, you know who Oh, I hope this isn't who I think it is. Answer it. Did it pop up?
You're
hey,
on.
What's up?
Hey, I can't hear your radio show.
You can't hear it?
You can't hear it at all?
It suddenly stopped. I don't know if anybody else is like that, but...
Like on the computer?
Like on the computer?
Yeah, I'm playing it to the computer and it suddenly...
When did you turn in?
What?
When did you turn in?
Half an hour ago.
Oh, and it just quit, like right now?
Yeah, like a minute ago.
Really? Yeah, I heard a crackle over the air, but...
Check with Mike, so he can send it in the field.
Yeah, check with somebody else and Christian and call us back.
Okay, see ya.
All right, later.
Thanks.
Hey,
push the button.
Take over
the yellow button.
Okay.
Take over. I'm going to call Tim.
Okay, where were we?
No, it's okay.
No, it's okay.
Top
Is that...
of 110.
No, it's okay.
I said.
Oh, okay. Chapman told Tom that there was not to be any killing at a sharing meeting. They don't want any suspicious activities. He also said they couldn't just go around killing every kid who might have been at the construction site. They needed to be sure. That's decent of them,
Rachel said dryly.
Not really. Chapman just said that for a while longer, Chapman just said that for a while longer, they still have to avoid attracting too much attention. A bunch of kids start turning up dead and people will definitely notice. He said they should just wait. Kids can't keep quiet for long about seeing aliens. When the kids talk, the controllers will find them and get rid of them. Except that we aren't going to talk about what we saw,
Rachel said.
You got that right,
Marco agreed.
We aren't saying anything. We are forgetting everything we saw. We are getting on with our normal lives. And leave Tom the way he is?
I demanded.
No way, never. He's my brother. I'm going to save him. Just how do you figure you're going to do that?
Marco asked sarcastically.
Let's see. It's you versus Chapman, the cops, and a bunch of Hork-Bajir, and Taxons, and, worst of all, that creep, Visser 3. All you can do to fight them is turn into a dog and bite their ankles. It's like being stuck in the most impossible video game ever.
Invented. Oh, I see. You were doing a dramatic pause.
Sorry. I missed that word completely.
Oh. I grinned.
Who needs invented?
We're engineers.
Okay, fine.
I grinned, or at least I showed my teeth.
Yeah, it is, kind of. But I'm pretty good at video games. And he won't be alone,
Rachel said.
I'm in this too. And me.
Tobias agreed.
Me too.
Cassie agreed.
Swell.
Marco said.
You like that agreed there?
Yeah, that's awesome.
So suddenly you're the Fantastic Four. This isn't a comic book. This is real. I hope it's better than the Fantastic Four, the movie.
Well, the comic books were better than the movie.
I never read the comic books.
Me neither.
I started reading those Spider-Man comic books, though, that they were printing in the paper for a while. You know?
Those aren't real Spider-Man comics.
Well, they're kind of Spider-Man comics.
They're almost.
You know what I found out, though? That he actually has, like, this webbing things.
Yeah, he has canisters. He doesn't actually have organic webs.
I didn't know that. I was misled by the thingy.
The movie?
Yeah, that movie. Okay.
All right, we're good to go.
Okay, we're good to go. Did you call Tim? Is he picking us up?
Well, he's listening over the air, and he can hear it just fine.
Uh-huh.
So it might just be Kelly's computer, which is prone to messing up.
Oh, yeah, because Kelly's Linux, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully it didn't screw up on the computer recording this on. Yeah.
Silly Linux, tricks is for kids.
Yeah, cord on mic, bad.
We're working on it.
Okay.
I don't mind it.
Hey, is this plugged in?
Wow, this is quiet.
Yeah.
Did you turn this down?
What?
Okay, sorry.
Just continue.
Wow, we are digressing.
Yeah.
And not funny digressing. Sorry, folks.
Yeah.
Sorry. This is a weird night because of CJ. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's all your fault.
Dude, you unplugged me.
I know.
Swell. So suddenly you're the Fantastic Four. This isn't a comic book. This is real. We heard the sound of people coming through the dunes. The meeting of the full members had broken up.
Which page are we on?
111. Everyone quiet.
Everyone quiet.
I said.
We'll let this ride for now.
Ride. I said that to calm Marco down. I had no intention of letting it ride. Let it ride, man. Let it ride. Just stay on red. I pulled Cassie aside.
Listen, Cassie. I need an animal morph that will let me watch Chapman without him seeing me. What do you have at the farm?
Cassie got quiet for a moment.
Let me think. We have a lot of injured birds, of course.
What have we got, 007?
We have the wolf with the broken leg. We have the wildcat with one eye.
I waited while she went down a list of all the animals in the wildlife rehabilitation clinic. Suddenly, Cassie snapped her fingers.
I wonder. How small an animal do you think we can morph?
I shrugged. I had no idea.
I may have something in mind,
she said.
It's not really in the clinic as a patient.
Oh, I forgot about this part.
It just sort of lives there. It's small. It can crawl up walls. It's fast if you need to get away. And I guess it can hear and see okay.
Which is how I ended up in Cassie's barn later that night, crawling beneath cages full of sick buzzards and between a pair of jumpy deer looking for lizards.
I totally thought that was going to go a different way.
How could you forget that part? It's on the cover.
Yeah, dude. It's the cover of the book.
I know that, but...
You posted it online.
I'm so excited about when we get to go to the gardens. Oh,
yeah, I know.
I said too much. Sorry.
Oh, we told them that yesterday. Oh,
anyway. I told them that first night. Okay. Anyway, chapter 16. I did it Monday morning in my locker at school. I turned into a lizard. Okay. A green anole, to be exact. It's a member of the iguana family, like you care. I waited till the bell rang for first period, which was English class. When everyone else was out in the hallway, I just climbed into my locker. I tried to act cool about it, just in case anyone was walking. Watching. Doo-dee-doo-dee-doo. Just...
crunch.
The locker was about 2 inches shorter than me, so I had to crouch. And it was so tight, I couldn't move. The only light was from the three small ventilation slits. I could hear my heart pounding in the cramped, dark space. I was afraid.
Of course you were.
It was one thing to turn into a dog. I mean, it's weird. It's strange. Dogs isn't on. But it's also kind of cool. Dogs are cool animals, but lizards?
I should have practiced.
I muttered under my breath.
I should have practiced, like Cassie said.
I started to focus for the morphing. I remembered the way we had caught the lizard the night before last. We'd spotted it with a flashlight, and Cassie had put a bucket over it so it couldn't get away. It had been fairly creepy just touching it to acquire its DNA pattern. Now, I was going to become it. The first thing I noticed was that I suddenly had more room inside the locker. I didn't have to crouch down, and my shoulders weren't scrunched up anymore. I touched my face with one hand. My skin was looser than it should have been, and pebbly to the touch. I ran my hand over my head. My hair was almost gone. Many of the older men in the audience will appreciate this sound.
Okay, I just got a call. We're good for on the radio and on low, but still no word on high.
Uh-oh, I'm on high.
That would be bad.
Yeah.
All right. We could lose our recording.
That would be nice. If anybody's listening at home, please record this.
Yes, please.
That'd be awesome.
Record it now.
Things began to happen very fast. The locker grew and grew around me. It was big as a barn, big as a stadium. It was like falling off a skyscraper and taking forever to hit the ground. I was standing on something sticky, as large as a boulder. Had a boulder gotten into my locker? But then I realized it was a wad of gum, an old chewed wad of gum stuck to the bottom of my locker. Gigantic drapes as big as the sails of a ship were falling all around me. They were my clothes. In the dim light, I could see two monstrous, misshapen things on either side of me. I could just make out the Nike swoosh and realize they were my shoes. They were the size of houses. And then the lizard brain kicked in.
Fear! Trapped! Run! 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 Run!
We got a call.
Okay.
You're on Animorphs.
Radio drama. Censored.
Hey guys, I was just calling to let you know that, because you were saying nobody called in that was using high bandwidth. Yeah, I'm using it. It's working just fine.
Excellent.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Well,
thanks.
Bye.
Who is this?
Hillary.
Oh, thanks.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Can you hear us very well on the telephone?
Huh?
Can you hear us very well?
A little better than last time.
Okay.
Yeah.
How's that? How's that?
What do you mean, how's what?
Okay, well, she can understand me, that's good.
Yeah. Yes,
okay.
Yes, I can understand you.
Okay, sweet. All right, well, thank you very much for calling in.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye. Dude, we're having our own little adventure in the studio.
Yay!
The adventure of the lost signal. Dum-dum-dum!
The Hardy Boys and... Or, what are we?
Don't mention the Hardy Boys, they've been ruined for me.
Hardy Boys, I don't...
Why?
Thanks to... Family Guy or South Park.
Oh, I haven't seen it. let's see.
And
fear trapped, run. I shot left, a wall. I scampered up, feeling my feet stick to it.
Trapped.
Dang it.
Trapped! Run!
I jump back, another hard surface.
Ah, out!
you're
trapped! Run!
I fought to get control, but the lizard brain was panicked. It didn't know where it was. It wanted out.
Out!
Go toward the light, I ordered my new body. The ventilation slits. That was the way out. But the body was afraid of the light. It was terrified. I was still bouncing off the walls. I could not overcome the panic instincts of the lizard body.
It's a vampire lizard.
Hey, sweet.
You're on Animorphs, the radio drama.
Hello?
Is anyone there?
Somebody's there.
They got like a bad cell phone or something.
Yeah.
Sad. Well, we're glad you called anyway.
Call back.
Yeah.
On a phone.
Phone.
That's creepy.
I think the Phantom Caller has his own theme song now.
Oh, no.
All right. But the body was afraid of the light. It was terrified. I was still bouncing off the walls. I could not overcome the panic instincts of the lizard body. Go to the light, I screamed inside my head. And suddenly I was there. I poked my head out and my body slithered after me. My tongue flicked out and I got a weird kind of input from it. Like smell, but not quite. It kept flicking. I could see it shoot out of my mouth and lick the air. In the bright light, I realized how bad the lizard eyes were. I couldn't make sense of what I was seeing. Everything was shattered and twisted around. Down was up and up was down. Colors weren't even close to right. I tried to think. Come on, Jake. You have eyes on the side of your head now. They don't focus together. They see different things. Deal with it. I tried to make sense of the pictures using this knowledge, but they were still a mess. It seemed to take me forever to figure it out.
One eye was looking down the hall to the left. The other was looking down the hall to the right. I was upside down, gripping the side of the locker, which was like a long gray field that wouldn't end. And all the time, the green and Oli brain was fighting me. Now that it was out of the dark locker, it desperately wanted to go back in. Chapman's office, I reminded myself. But where was it? Left. That way. Suddenly, I was off and running. Straight down the wall. Zoom! Then, on level floors. Zoom! Around a scrap of paper twice as big as I was. The ground flew past. It was like being strapped onto a crazy, out-of-control missile. Then my lizard friend sensed the spider. It was a strange thing, like I wasn't sure if I saw the spider or heard it or smelled it or tasted it on my flicking lizard tongue or just suddenly knew it was there. I took off after it, racing at a million miles an hour before I could even think about stopping. My legs were a blur, they moved so fast. Probably wasn't a huge spider. Not if you were a great big human being, but to my lizard eyes, it looked as big as a small child. Big as a small child. It was huge.
Nice, caller.
And you're on
air. Hello.
Radio drama. Uncensored.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey.
Hello?
Hey.
Is this Animorphs?
Yes, it is.
Oh, well, I just want to say I like the music stylings you have put in this time.
Well, this time what we're doing, instead of taking 15 minutes and 20 minutes to actually have the songs that we're going to be featuring on the Animorphs that we're required to play, we're going to be putting them in the background. And so we'll be announcing what those songs were in a little bit, just so you know.
Okay, well, that's cool. I think they're very interesting to listen to as you're reading.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, well.
Okay.
Talk to you later, Steph.
Okay.
Bye.
All right. In future reference, though, we're going to have to turn off the music before saying hi, because did you notice that that overpowers our voices?
And
caller.
You're on Animorphs, the radio drama.
Uncensored.
This show rocks.
Thanks, man.
Who is this?
What?
Who is this?
Oh, this is your friend and buddy Colt, who is in your small group. I think we need to make an investment and buy all 54 books in the series and make it a collector's edition.
Oh, we will. I'm working on that right now.
You want some help working on that?
Yeah.
I can make it like a birthday present.
Yeah.
Ooh. Awesome. We could have Animorph Grams.
All right. Peace out, buddy.
All right. Later, dude.
Later. That would be pretty good. You're like my Falcon Morph soaring in the therm.
Oh, the corniness.
That's what she said.
You're like my Falcon Morph. All right, Spider-Man.
It dives straight to my heart.
Oh, the possibilities are endless.
Like whipped cream.
Oh.
Cool Whip, my bad.
Shame on you. Shame on you and everything you stand for.
Okay, let's finish this song. Well,
yeah, we gotta finish it eventually.
But to my lizard eyes, it looked as big as a small child.
Small child.
It was huge.
Take a break after the next chapter.
I could see the compound eyes. I could see the individual joints. Individual joints in its eight legs. I could see the clicking, awful mandible. The spider ran. I ran after it. It was faster.
No, I was
faster. Get close to him.
I was faster.
There we go.
No!
I screamed inside my head, but too late. My head jerked forward, fast as a striking snake. My jaws snapped, and suddenly the spider was in my mouth. I could feel it.
Speaking
spiking.
Of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Too bad there's not a lizard man. We could, like, argue over who would win,
lizard
and now we know.
Man, lizard man. He kicks the crap out of Spider-Man. That's so absurd. Okay.
Or Anoli Man, Anoli Man.
Yeah, but then people would read it wrong and be like, Anal Man. That's how it's spelled. A-N-O-L-E.
Anole.
Exactly.
Like a British person.
I could feel it fighting. I could feel the spider's leg squirming and fighting to get out of my mouth. I tried to spit it out, but I couldn't. The lizard's hunger for the spider was too great.
Eight legs of terror.
I swallowed the spider. It was like swallowing a whole canned ham.
Or but spam.
Canned spam is not as hard to swallow as a canned ham.
A canned ham that was.
A canned ham that was fighting all the way down.
With green eggs.
No, 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 no.
My brain cried in horror and disgust, but at the same time, the lizard brain was pleased.
Oh.
I could feel it become slightly calmer. That does it. I told myself, I am out of this morph. I wanted out of that horrible little body. I didn't care who saw me. I was going to morph back into human shape. Marco was right. It was insane to get involved in this. Insane! I heard the ground shake. It was a noise like a giant stomping across the land. Not that fast. It was a giant. Haven't you seen ants? It's like really slow.
Oh, I didn't. I can't read this. It's.
Oh, shame on you.
There was a huge shadow in the sky. It was like someone was trying to crush me by dropping an entire building on my head. The shoe came down. I scampered left. Another shoe. My tail. The shoe was on my tail. I was strapped.
Oh, dead air!
Dead air. Oh,
I got
dead
it.
Air.
Oh, that was close.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Okay. While we continue to rustle around back here, we're trying out a new setup where we have one person...
Tell a joke.
I am. It's funny. We're going to have one person just doing sound and stuff and two other people doing reading and stuff. And what that does is create situations where we might not be ready to go. But we're going to get it to the point where we're like ninjas at it and we can do like backflips over the desk and, you know, run up walls and stuff like...
Without breaking things.
Maybe.
Or eating spiders.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Anyways,
we're back in.
Am I narrating?
If you want.
I want to narrate.
Okay.
In panic, I tried to run, but...
Chapter 17.
In panic, I tried to run, but my tail was caught. Suddenly, I was free. How did that... I realized what happened. My tail had snapped off. Looking back, I saw it still trapped by a giant shoe.
Sweet!
Giant shoe.
You're on Animorphs.
The radio drama uncensored.
Am I actually on the air, or are you guys on commercial right now?
No, we're back on.
You're on the air.
I'm on the air.
You're definitely on the air, Evan.
You made it this time.
Oh, because all I can hear is commercials right now. But
well, that's because there's a two-minute delay, dude.
Say what?
There's a two-minute delay with what you hear and what we've said.
You guys are really funny sounding over the phone.
Oh, that's just me. I'm funny.
We're in the future.
Hey, technically, kind of we are.
We are.
We're
in
your future.
1.21 gigawatts!
Anyway, why are you calling?
Huh?
Why are you calling?
What?
Why?
I was curious if you guys already read the responses to Kyle's question from last week.
Oh, we're waiting until the opportune moment.
Yes.
Gotcha. Yeah. Cool. I will wait with bated expectation. Then.
That's good.
Yeah.
The other question, and I have to do this for Sean, is that he said, Kyle and CJ, you guys have to show up for your machine design meeting tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh,
shoot.
Yeah.
I knew that.
Thanks for telling me, buddy.
You're the one that's supposed to be leading the meeting.
Hey, books. No class.
Hey,
okay, no classroom in the studio. What are you thinking?
Yeah. That's kind of what I figured. You know, the homework in the studio, bad idea, but I throw it out there, so. Anyway, I'll talk to you guys later and let you guys get back to the show and,
thank you!
Homework-related stuff,
just so you know, Sean, if you're listening, the studio just turned a nice shade of red because of the radiance that is coming from Kyle's cheeks.
Hey.
Okay, check it there.
See you later, dude.
Bye.
Fuck on, guys.
Later.
You
my bad.
Jerk.
Okay.
Giant shoe.
Before we start up again, where are we with the ambient song?
Oh,
track one.
Are we still going?
Yes. It's well, different. Can it?
It's kind of too low key now.
Oh, it's almost done though.
Yeah, no, we want to do this. No, it's not almost done.
Yeah, it's got 5 seconds left.
Oh, you should rewind it to the start.
Yeah.
Because we were supposed to
play the whole thing.
On air.
Kyle's not very good with electronics.
Hey, you know what? You started it at the wrong time.
No, I didn't.
Which one are we looking at? Disc 2 or disc 3?
You had the right disc.
Remember, your computer doesn't screw up. It's the operator using it. The computer only does what it's told to.
Oh, wait. I think it is right.
I think we should save this song.
It counts down. Yeah, it's not right yet. This is a Cassie Jake moment.
Oh.
Hi! Hi, you're on Animorphs.
Radio drama.
Uncensored.
Hello, this is Dr. Murthy. I heard the reference to machine design homework, and I thought I'd just screw you over a little more by giving you some more memos for Fluids Lab. Come on, folks. I mean, you got to work hard, and I'd like to say something about the laminar flow, but I can't really think of anything to say.
But you guys
do a good job, and have fun doing all your homework this week. Goodbye.
Bye.
And we're back.
All right, Giant Shoe.
Oh, by the way, what you heard over the last... No, not yet. That's a Jake and Cassie, like, romantic moment.
You can put on, I think it's track 7 on the other CD we have. Just open the other case. Okay, we're going to read.
We're going to keep going.
You know what's really funny is we had like this. We had apparently a comment about how smooth we were. I feel hypocritical.
Yeah,
right now.
Because we changed things. We shouldn't have changed things.
Change is everything.
I know it is.
It's our motto.
Okay, I really want to get through this book.
Okay,
so
okay, let's do this.
Let's focus.
The shoe lifted and flew through the air. I shot up the side of the wall and froze in place. The giant had not seen me. It had not tried to stop me. It had been an accident. And now my tail? No, the lizard's tail. The giant walked on it, shaking the ground as it went. Walked on as it went. I focused one lizard eye on the figure. It was like trying to make sense out of one of those carnival fun mirrors. But even so, I was pretty sure it was Chapman. I watched him head down the hall, and with all my power, I ordered my lizard body to follow him. I tried not to think about the spider in my stomach, or the fact that it was still not completely dead. I tried not to think about the fact that part of my body was on the floor, jerking like it was still alive. I just raced along after Chapman, because Chapman might reveal something that would help Tom. I planned to follow Chapman to his office. I'd hide under his desk and listen to him make phone calls. I figured soon...
It just struck me as funny for no reason.
Well, okay then.
I figured sooner or later he might let something slip about the location of the Yerk Pool. Cassie and I had talked about it, among other things. She'd said it could take days of hiding in Chapman's office before we learned anything. Besides, we could only stay in Morph for 2 hours, and meanwhile, I would be skipping class. Sooner or later, I'd get in trouble over that. And the really funny thing is, when they catch you skipping class, you get sent to the assistant principal. Mr. Chapman.
That's awkward. I could just
imagine that scene. Sorry I skipped class, Mr. Chapman, but I've been in this lizard body watching you because I know you're a controller and part of a giant alien conspiracy to take over the Earth. I would have laughed, only lizards can't laugh, so I... So I just followed Chapman as he marched down the hall. Suddenly, he stopped. Were we at his office? I looked around as well as I could. It didn't look like an office. The spider gave a kick in my stomach. Well, that was a turn of events. I opened a door. He swung right. No, it's like one of those Looney Tunes things where the lizard jumps up and like grabs on and then like the doorknob turns and he falls off.
Chapman opened the door.
Okay, fine. He's right. He opened the door. It swung right over me with a big rush of air. It went just above my head as I hugged the floor. I concentrated on making sense of the sights. Wait a minute. This was the janitor's closet. I just thought of scrubs, and that's fun. A mess of mops and buckets and cleaning solutions. What was Chapman doing? He went inside.
Janitorial work.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Better clean Earth.
Or the school. Whatever.
Yeah. You know, it's all part of one big healthy...
Have we gotten past a page?
Yes, we have.
We've done like almost two chapters.
Have we worked the electronics correctly?
Hey, you know what?
Ooh.
You know what? We could trade back. It's not even the next break yet.
Are you in it? Okay, fine. Man.
Guys, stop.
I concentrated on making sense of the sights. Wait a minute. This was the... Oh, I already said that. He went inside. I followed, careful to stay away from the high leather wall. High leather walls that were his...
Because he's small.
I thought it was like an upholstered janitor's closet. I was like... I heard a loud click. He had locked the door behind him.
Sweet.
You're on Animorphs.
The radio drama uncensored.
Who is this?
I'm just saying that you guys need to keep reading.
Thanks, Tim. Now stop talking so we can.
All right, there you go.
Okay, bye.
Step away from your radio next time. Thanks.
That was actually a pretty cool effect.
Yeah.
Did he hang up? I'm hanging up.
Yeah.
It sounded like God.
Uh-huh. And if you're upset, I'm sorry, but we do have to keep going. Yeah. And I'm still trying to learn this equipment.
Yeah. We're trying him out. Testing.
I heard a loud click.
I heard a loud click. I knew that.
Okay, fun.
There's some tension in the studio tonight.
I think there is, and it's Mo's fault.
No, it's not Mo's fault. It's really Father Claude's fault, because he had a really long homily tonight. Anyways, I heard a loud click, and you can't blame a priest. I heard a loud click.
Oh.
Well, maybe you can.
That's like four loud clicks now.
I heard a loud click. Five. He had locked the door behind him. It was a long way up the floor, but I could more or less see him doing things to the sink faucet.
No! No, Doug! Why? Why?
I thought he grabbed one of the hooks they used to hang up the dirty mop heads.
Oh, no. This is important. Pay attention.
Eerie music. I was pretty sure he twisted it because I could hear a squeaking sound. And to my total and complete amazement, the wall opened. There was a doorway where the wall had been.
Oh, no! Oh, no! Oh, my God, no! Oh. Ah! Phone!
You're
hey,
on
you're on.
Hello?
Animorphs.
Radio drama.
Uncensored.
You guys need to continue reading and stop chit-chatting.
All right! Oh, this is... Okay, how are we supposed to continue reading with people calling in and telling us to continue reading?
We'll
we're trying! We're trying!
Day, okay? I want to know what happens. I'm in suspense. Shaking in my boots.
Yeah, dude.
We're going to get on task, all right? Alright, thanks. Stay on track. Thank you.
Oh, wait,
right. Oh, and Teresa and Bobrick, say hi.
Okay, bye.
No, they were going to say hi.
I don't care. He said they say hi.
I care.
I care.
It's the Luke. The Luke's got, that's a reference. Never. Okay, fine. Okay, I'm on this. There was a doorway where the wall had been. Strange smells and stranger sounds wafted up from inside the doorway. Chapman stepped through. There were stairs just inside, heading down into a purple-lit pit. From far away, as it came from 100 miles down, I heard a faint sound. It was a scream. A scream of fear and despair. A human voice crying out in the desert. In the darkness of that horrible place.
No.
The voice moaned.
No.
I knew what that scream meant. I knew what was happening somewhere down there. A human being was feeling the Yerk Slug slither inside its brain. Somewhere down there, a human was being turned into a mindless slave of the Yerks. Chapman headed down the stairs. The door closed behind him. I had found the Yerk pool. It was right under my school.
Wow. That was cool.
Chapter 18.
Screams. Oh,
I said.
Okay. Human screams. They sounded far off, but that's what they were.
My friends looked at me, all but Marco, who looked away. It was that same afternoon, right after school. We'd gone to the mall. We figured it was the best way not to look suspicious. But no one thinks there's anything weird about kids hanging together at the mall. We were at a table in the food court, sharing some nachos. Ever since eating the spider, I had a desire to consume lots of junk food to help me forget.
Understandable.
You were a lizard at the time,
Marco pointed out.
Who knows what you heard? I know,
I said.
I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. I can't stand the thought of what's happening to those people down there,
Cassie said. She shuddered.
It's sickening. Yeah, but we have to do something,
Rachel said.
Yeah, let's rush right down there,
Marco said.
Then it can be us screaming.
I realized I had lost my appetite for nachos.
Marco, you just have to ignore what's going on.
You can't just ignore.
No, Marco, you can't just ignore what's going on,
Rachel said.
Sure I can,
he said.
All I have to do is remind myself that, hey, guess what? I don't want to die.
Nice.
That's it, then,
Rachel demanded, outraged.
Just whatever's best for Marco. I don't think Marco's being selfish,
Cassie said.
Just the opposite. He's thinking about his father, about what would happen to his dad if Marco... He's not the only one who's got people to worry about.
Rachel said.
I have a family. We all do. Not me.
Tobias said softly.
Pity boy.
He smiled his sad, crooked smile.
Market zero.
It's true. No one gives a rat's rear about me.
Thank you, K.A. You make our job so easy.
Are we playing music right now?
No.
Okay,
no.
I'm just... It was
Why,
for...
Why, did you want me to?
No, it's just, it was for a while and I couldn't hear it. I do.
No one gives a rat's rear about me.
I know, I said I do.
Okay. I do, Rachel said. I was surprised to hear her say that. Rachel isn't exactly sentimental. Do we count that as awkward?
No.
Look... I said.
I'm not asking anyone else to go with me, but I don't have a choice. I heard that scream today, and I know Tom is going down there tonight. He's my brother. I have to try and save him.
I held out my hands, helpless.
I have to do it.
Interesting.
For Tom.
For Tom.
I'll go with you.
Tobias said.
For the Andalite.
For the Andalite.
Jesus!
Stop.
There's
laughing.
No one else who could do anything to stop the yurt,
Rachel said.
I'm scared to death just thinking about it, but I'm there.
Marco looked sick. He gave me a dirty look. He shook his head.
This is bad,
he said.
This is so bad. If it wasn't for Tom, I'd walk away. Look, Marco, you don't have to...
I started to say...
Oh, shut up!
He snapped.
You're my best friend, you jerk. Like, I'm going to let you go face all this alone? I'm in. I'm in. To rescue Tom, that's it. Then I'm done.
Only Cassie had remained silent. She was looking dreamily off over the heads of the mall crowd.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, goodness. You know, back in the old days... I mean, the real, real old days. The Africans. The early Europeans... The Native Americans, they all believed that
that animals had spirits,
and they would call on those spirits to protect them from evil. Wait, Matt.
All right.
No. Say it with me, and then we can get the full power of this statement, starting from the Africans. The Africans, the early Europeans, the Native Americans. They all believed the animals had spirits, and they would call on those spirits to protect them from evil. They would ask the spirit of the fox for his cunning. They would ask the spirit of the eagle for his sight. They would ask the lion for his strength. Roar! I guess what we're doing is sort of basic, even though... It's like dripping in here. Even though it was the Andalite technology that made it possible, we're still just scared little humans trying to borrow the mind of the fox and the eyes of the eagle. Or the hawk,
she added, smiling at Tobias.
And the strength of the lion. Just like thousands of years ago, we're calling on the animals to help
protect
us from
evil.
Animals, please help. They are attacking us.
Oh, this is great, Linex. Will their strength be enough?
I wondered.
I don't know.
Cassie admitted solemnly.
It's like all the basic forces of the planet Earth are being brought into battle. Captain Planet!
Yeah.
Heart!
Wind!
Fire, earth, water.
Oh. With our powers combined, we become... Captain Planet!
And the Animorph 5! Continue, please.
Marco rolled his eyes.
Nice
story.
Nice story, Cassie. But we're just five normal... You know what? I think Marco... No, this is... This is... I'm gonna get yelled at.
You're on Animorph. Uncensored.
I don't think you guys could be any more cheesy. I mean, seriously, with all that music and all that bad sound effects and stuff.
Those aren't sound effects.
It's like
that's
I'm listening
actual
to score. a Disney movie or something. I can't really understand you guys. Okay.
Fine. You just want innuendo and you know, bad humor.
I have no idea what you guys are saying. I'm okay. Gonna hang up now.
Good. We will too.
Critics.
Okay. So, anyways, as I was saying, I think this is an important literary point. I think Marco serves as the chorus, and that's detracted from early Greek plays and stuff like that, because he talks about, you know, he is the voice of the audience. So he's like the Grecian chorus. Yeah, he's the Grecian chorus. So there you go. So maybe we should just do all of Marco's line and song.
No.
Oh, man, that could be interesting.
No, that couldn't be.
I can't stand. Marco rolled his eyes.
Nice story, Cassie. But we're just five normal kids up against the Yerks. If it was a football game, who would you bet on? We're toast.
Don't bet on football games, kids. It's illegal.
Don't be so sure.
Cassie said.
No, they're definitely.
We're fighting for Mother Earth. She has some tricks up her sleeves.
Oh, stop it. You've already gotten reprimanded.
Good grief.
Marco said.
Let's all buy Birkenstocks and go hug some trees.
We all laughed, including Cassie.
Cassie's right about one thing.
Rachel said seriously.
The only thing we have going for us is this animal morphing thing. And so far, the only morphs we've acquired are a cat, bing, a bird, bing, a dog, bing, a horse, bing, and a lizard. Bing, bing, bing. I think we need a little more firepower. We should head for the gardens. Yes. We need to acquire more DNA from some animals that are so not happy. Going to be easy to acquire.
All right.
Yes! I'm so excited!
Go, God.
I nodded. Yeah, I don't think the hawk, horse, and lizard team is going to impress the Yerks. Rachel's right. I think we have to head to the gardens. We need to get some help from Mother Earth's toughest children.
Get some help from Mother Earth's toughest children.
Oh, man, we're getting excited. Hello. This is Animorphs.
Hello.
Hi, you guys.
Hi.
This is Christine.
Hi.
I just wanted to give you the message that Ashley loves Captain Planet, but she's not so sure about these Animorph things. Yeah, and like most of the other callers, I can't really hear what you're saying, so I'm just going to...
We're trying new techniques.
Yes.
We're trying to make it... This is for the viewers.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to hang up now, all right?
All right, bye.
Have a good night.
You
bye.
We need to get some help from Mother Earth's toughest children.
I already said that. I looked in.
I looked to Cassie.
Can you get us in? I can get in for free.
She said.
You guys will have to pay, but I can use my mom's employee discount, so it'll be cheaper. Oh, I'm sure we could talk them into letting us in for nothing.
Marco said.
Just tell them we're the Animorphs.
The radio dropped. Oh, sorry.
Tell them we're what?
Rachel asked.
Idiot teenagers with a death wish.
Marco said.
Animorphs.
I tried the word out. It sounded okay.
Huh. Yeah, that's
oh,
right.
Oh, wait. This is the first time they ever called themselves that, huh?
High five! Woo! Oh. That was wimpy.
There we go.
Yeah!
I lost my...
Okay, we just got high fives all around. I expect all our...
Okay, and high five to the audience. High five your radio.
The mic just got a slap.
Okay. A gentle slap.
Chapter 19.
Okay.
Oh, break time.
What?
Break time.
Holy Never crap. Mind.
All right, we've got a new thing in store for you guys. Maybe a one-time thing, but we had a resident of Shipstead send in... his own song tonight. His name is Jeff Cush. He's putting together a rap album and
before,
wanted to know if we could try this out. So, we're going to go ahead and play it.
But before we do that, you're listening to KDUP 1580 AM or online at kdup.up.edu.
And how can we call in, Matthew?
Well, CJ, you can call in by dialing 503-943-7121 if you're off campus. Or if you're on campus, you can use extension 7121.
But what if I don't have a phone? How can I get to you guys?
Do you have the internet, Kyle?
Maybe.
You can email us at animorph_radio@yahoo.com.
Hey, and did you hear about that new Facebook account?
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's the Facebook group Animorphs. The radio drama.
But not...
No,
uncensored.
But
yeah.
It still is.
Yeah.
The internet implies uncensored.
Okay, here we go.
Jeff Cush.
Animorphs.
You're listening to KDUP 1580 AM or online at kdup.up.edu, and you can call in anytime you like. We may take it, we may ignore it, but usually take it at 503-943-7121, extension 7121 for those that, you know, can't remember the first six. But, you know, I have full confidence you guys can call. Anyway, we're on what, Matt?
Chapter 19.
Thank you.
We left straight from the mall, hopping a bus out to the gardens, which is clear across the city. On the way, I tried to catch up on my homework. I had missed a lot of classes that day, so I borrowed class notes from my friends. Rachel kept perfect notes. Tobias had terrible notes with all kinds of little drawings in the margins.
Whoa, we're not getting anything from the internet stream.
What do you mean?
He says the meters show levels on KDP's internet stream. We're not getting a thing on that.
Can you hear me? Is it spiking?
No.
On there? It's not moving?
You're on there.
I'm on there. What about you?
Hello? Hi. Yeah. Dude, check the connections with the mic real quick.
The mic connection's in. Sorry, folks, for those that are still listening. We lost a mic.
Am I? Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I really am.
You're going crazy on that side.
Weird.
Well,
maybe it's always been on that right side.
Maybe. Well, we'll just keep going.
Hey, if somebody on kdup.up.edu wants to call in and tell us whether or not they can hear our second reader, we're having some technical difficulties in the studio, but, you know, it's no big deal, really. You're not in on mine.
You're not in on mine either.
Okay, we're having a problem. So, this is lame because we're almost to a really good part, but I'm going to put it up in the middle and... see how that works. Turn it up a little bit.
Yeah, we're good to go.
Are we good to go?
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's really good.
We're just going to try this. Hey, if Kohler's listening and you have any ideas, we lost the sound on a mic. So if you want to call in, we're going to hope that you're the next caller. Because we didn't touch a plug or anything. It's just done.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on. I'm going to slap CJ in the face.
What? I just turned that off.
Have a call.
And... hello?
You're on.
Okay, we're having a problem.
Okay, I can't hear the second person who's supposed to be reading. I can only hear Kyle.
Yeah. Okay, okay.
So I think we're just side done.
Yeah, alright, thank you.
I can't hear you guys at all.
Okay, oh, hang right. up then.
I thought you should know. I'm hanging up now. Bye.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
That.
We'll just deal with this for now.
Yeah. Alright. We left straight for the mall, hopping a bus out to the gardens, which is clear across the city. On the way, I tried to catch up on my homework. I had missed a lot of classes that day, so I borrowed the class notes from friends and stuff. Hey, you're on.
Animorphs, the radio drama, uncensored.
Hey, I can hear Kyle just fine, but I can't hear...
Okay, yeah, we got that.
Okay, we got that. Thanks.
Oh, it's going to take like a minute before they start realizing.
Okay, bye. Okay,
thanks, bye.
All right, bye.
Okay, continue. We got to get going.
So I borrowed class notes from my friends. Rachel kept perfect notes. Tobias had terrible notes with all kinds of little drawings in the margins. It took a while before I could figure out what they were.
Ligers.
They were buildings and people and cars, the way they looked from high up in the sky.
Don't really need to go in,
Tobias said as we pooled our limited cash to buy tickets.
I'm happy with just my Hawkmorph. I don't want to be anything else. I think that's a mistake,
Rachel said.
Our one real weapon is the power to morph. We should acquire as many useful morphs as we can. What kind of animal morphs are going to be able to deal with Visser 3 when he turns into that big monster that ate the Andalite?
I asked. There was nothing in the zoo or any other that was going to kick that big monster's butt. Marco winked.
Fleas? No one can kill fleas. We'll itch him to death.
I had to smile.
So now you're suddenly Mr. Hopeful? No. I'm just scared I'm getting weird,
he said.
I haven't done this morphing stuff. You guys all have. I'm not even a full-fledged animal yet. I'm still normal.
All right, we've got
I'm still a normie.
You're on Animorphs.
You're on.
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Hello?
Yeah, that helps.
Okay, yeah, we adjusted one of the mics.
Cool. All right. Later.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Who's that?
Thank you, callers. Thank you. No, it was Evan.
Oh, it was Evan.
Yeah.
It sounds similar.
Okay. Where are we?
I'm still normal.
Still normies.
Feel.
Oh. Did I turn?
Middle of 129.
Yeah, I turned the page. Okay. I still feel normal.
Cassie said she looked troubled.
Cassie, you can't turn into a... You can turn into a horse.
Marco said.
You know, very few normal kids can do that. It's different for Jake turning into a lizard. He's always been a reptile.
I took a good-natured swing at Marco, but he dodged it. It was cool having Marco with us, even if he was giddy, like CJ.
Jerk. Oh, we're gonna keep that up.
It took about a half an hour to reach the main gate of the gardens. Alright, we have a caller.
Hello! Hey, how's it going?
Hello?
You're on Animorphs Radio Drama Uncensored.
I love Kyle, and I want him to have my babies.
Thanks, Joe. I'll see you later.
Love you, Kyle.
Bye. I don't think that's Joe.
I don't want to know who it is. All right. It took about a half an hour. Pull the book away from the mic. It took about half an hour to reach the main gate of the gardens. I climbed down off the bus feeling nervous. Not at all like I usually felt going there. I mean, the gardens is just about my favorite place to go normally, but normally I'm not going there to get personal with dangerous animals. The main part of the gardens is rides. They have all the usual stuff there, like roller coasters, which are my personal favorite, and the Ferris wheels and water slides. But they also have an animal part, which is like a zoo, only cooler. They do dolphin shows, and then this whole section where you can get close to some of the safer animals. Okay. Hello, you're on Animals.
Yeah, it's a radio drama.
Uncensored.
Hey.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
Do I have KDUP?
Yes.
Yes, I've got your oldest listener here. Here she is.
Hello.
Hi.
I can't even hear you.
Who is this?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I can't hear anything.
Sorry. Can you hear us now?
Good.
What are you in?
Hello?
What are you doing there?
We're reading books.
You're reading books?
Yeah, it's how we spend our free time.
I think that the CJ is the cutest disc jockey this world has.
Yep. This is your family, dude. Oh, hi, family. Awesome. Wait, who in my family? It's her. Hi.
Peanut.
Hi, Grandma. Why is this? How are you?
I can't hear you.
Yeah, well, it's pretty tough over the internet to be able to do that. It's kind of fuzzy.
It's awfully hard to understand you. It's too much interference or something.
Yeah.
Mhm.
Yeah, it's just the way the mics work here on the air.
Peanut wants to say hello.
Oh, hi, Peanut. Peanut's my dog for all the people out there that are listening.
Peanut, say hi. You better go to bed.
Alrighty, well, we gotta get on with the show, Grandma, but thank you for calling.
Okay, good
love
night.
You.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Oh, it's horrible.
Everyone say hi to my grandma.
Hi, Grandma. let's see if this mic's working right. Okay, you can't hear me.
Okay.
It's broke. We didn't do it. It was somebody.
We really
else.
Didn't.
Whoa,
I have no idea what happened.
Keep going. Okay.
All right. So, we were reading a book.
That's nothing, dude. It's a Y adapter that's broken.
They do dolphin shows, and there's this whole section where you can go close to some of the safer animals. And this monkey habitat that is like a whole monkey city, practically. Anyway, if I were an animal and I had to be in a zoo, I'd want to be there.
Okay, I think this is a perfect time to, read some of those things we got on the email. because we're right. about to go find out what they want to grab for their zoo animals.
Okay. Kyle, you want to just straight off?
Yeah, why all not? Right.
Okay, so we'll start at the top.
Hello.
There it is.
Yes!
Somebody figured it out. How'd you pull that off?
I don't know. They just got hit for some reason.
Okay, hey, we're back.
Okay, it worked.
This is mine.
Huzzah. All right, Barbara Holmes.
Hey.
Hello.
Phone call.
You're on Animorphs.
The radio drama.
Uncensored.
Oh, that was so cute. That was in reference to CJ's grandma calling. I thought it was very nice.
Okay. Well, thank you, Professor Murdy.
By the way, it's... Earth, fire, wind, water, heart.
Yeah, we got it.
Go planet.
Actually, I was going to send in pollution there, you know, but that's just
you are such a nerd.
Captain Planet.
Okay, we're going to say bye.
Bye, Luke.
When we're corny, it's okay because it's funny, but when other people get corny, we feel bad because we think we're rubbing off.
All right, Barbara.
Thanks for the call, though.
We're a bad influence.
Yeah,
dangerous. Barbara Holmes off of Facebook writes... I would be a cheetah, because they look pretty awesome, they're super fast, and they have flesh-shredding claws.
I agree with her. That was like my favorite animal for the longest time.
Oh, darn seriously. Straight. All right.
All right. The next one down. Christine Siri. Oh, weird. She emailed us, you know, to say, what kills a yerk? That would be ask, not say. Well, I guess if I wanted to be effective... It wanted it to be effective in the long run, I'd morph into a rat and spread the plague. It would probably be self-sacrificing. But wait! It's possible I could morph back before destroying myself. Right? Sorry, I really don't have time for this. Click.
David Burke. Quite simple. A rhino.
Eben Allen. Pick an animal to steal from a zoo to battle evil or just be generally awesome. Don't ask much, do you? Fine, you crazy taskmasters, here you go. Sarcastic answer, must be said, in Kyle's rendition of Tom's voice or whatever the huge dumb-sounding one's name is. I'd probably pick a liger. Mostly for its skills and magic.
That's
wow,
second,
I butchered that.
That is the second mention of a liger.
Yeah. Real answer, I'd take a rhino. In agreement with David Burke, because seriously, once a rhino gets going, what's gonna stop it? Show me the animal that's going to see a rhino and go, giant pointy mass hurtling straight for me. You know what? Forget moving. I'm just gonna stand here and stop it. Yeah, not gonna happen. And did I mention that burly spike of a horn, clawing and biting are sort of cool modes of attack, but goring. It just doesn't matter much better. Doesn't get much better or more intense than that. Wow, I struggled with that. Wow, this keeps going.
Okay, well,
yeah,
let's,
it does.
We'll,
all right,
we'll come
I'm
back
sorry.
To it a little bit.
We're gonna come back to it later. Oh wait, CJ Hanley. But I would be a condor. They're freaking awesome.
They are. They have like a huge, enormous wingspan.
You weren't supposed to
Haven't
email.
Haven't you ever gone to? The Portland Zoo, and they talk about the endangered condors and everything, and they're like, yeah,
okay, stop. Wes Studer, if I could morph into any animal, I would morph into an alligator. Why? Because I find it amusing that the only two ways to disable me are to either jam a pen or pencil into the back of my eye or reach into my mouth and pull all my teeth out. At least that's what I heard from Live and Let Die. Anyways... Keep up the good work, and never submit to quality control. Rah, 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 rah.
Yes.
Thanks, Wes.
And Evan,
friends.
And we'll read Evan's thing.
Yeah, we'll read the rest later.
Because it's awesome.
Yeah, it is quite funny.
All right.
Even though I butchered it. Where were we?
Why anyway, else? If I were an animal and I had to be in a zoo, I'd want to be there. Cassie led us to the main building, which holds all kinds of exhibits. It has everything but the really big animals that need lots of space. Those animals are further out, mostly in big grassy habitats that look like parks. Parks with walls and moats and fences around them. The main building is supposed to be like a rainforest, I guess. It's where they keep animals that need to be warm all the time. There's a pathway that winds around with tall tropical trees overhead, with bushes here and there and between the exhibits. Some of the exhibits are tiny, and some are really big, like the area they have for otters.
It has a waterfall and a water slide for the otters to play in. It looks exactly like the waterfall they let the humans play on. I wonder if that's some sort of commentary. No, that's not in there. We were near the otter habitat when Cassie stopped.
Okay, now everybody stay together and try not to be too suspicious looking,
she said.
I'm taking you inside. Inside where? Well, the way it works is there are walkways behind all the exhibits. That's how they feed the animals and give them meds or whatever. Meds or medicines. Sorry.
She pointed to an... Everybody knows what meds are.
Yeah.
She pointed to an inconspicuous doorway.
Anyway, we can go in through here.
It was an odd change from outside to inside. One minute, we were in this fake rainforest. The next minute, we were in what looked like a hallway at school. Only the smell was worse. Kind of damp and moldy and musty. More like the boys' locker room.
Okay, look. If any staff people... Oh, sorry, that's a girl. Okay, look. If any staff people stop us. The story is, we're here to see my mom.
Cassie said.
Of course, it's so late in the afternoon, she won't be here. I hope. Because if she finds out I've been dragging four of my friends around the back here, well, I can't be saving the world from alien... I can't be saving the world from alien invaders if I'm grounded. Hopefully, there won't be many staff people here at all.
I like this. It's kind of James Bondy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's what I was going for.
We shuffled along the hallway, feeling like we definitely did not belong, which we didn't. On either side of the main hall, there were side paths that led to the different exhibits. Unfortunately, the doorways of the exhibits just had numbers on them. I knew we'd have to rely on Cassie's knowledge to find our way around. Behind some of those doors were just animals you didn't... Or were animals you just didn't want to walk in on.
I turned page too early.
132.
Oh, no.
Good job, Kyle.
How do you guys feel about gorillas?
Cassie said.
Oh, gorilla.
She had just stopped by one of the numbered doors.
This is Big Jim's cage. He just came over from another zoo, so he's in his own private environment now. He's very gentle.
Slowly it dawned on me what Cassie was saying.
Oh, you mean, does one of us want to acquire his DNA?
No, I mean, do you want to go have a chat with him? What do you think, Jake?
That is why we're here, Jake.
Rachel pointed out. She batted her eyes at Marco.
How about you, Marco? Haven't you always wanted to be a big, hairy guy?
That was awesome. Marco didn't look like he was crazy about the idea, but I knew how to handle Marco.
Okay. Maybe Marco should try something easier for his first morph. Okay, guys? You know, like a cuddly little koala or something.
That did it.
Koala?
Marco said, giving me a dirty look.
Open that door, Cassie.
He hesitated.
You said gentle, right? Oh, you said gentle, right? Gorillas are extremely gentle.
Cassie said. Then in a quieter voice, she added,
unless you make them mad.
Cassie opened her backpack. She took out an apple and handed it to Marco.
Here, you just open the door. The way it's set up, none of the visitors will be able to see you unless you walk clear out into the cage. Besides, there's an extra security gate, so he can't just jump out and you can't just walk in. So we just open the door and hope Big Jim feels like eating.
Behind the door was a second door of steel bars with a little cutaway section for the handlers to shove the food through. The entire door opening was concealed behind a fake rock ledge, so it wasn't visible to the people looking into the cage.
But unfortunately, the door broke, and Big Jim rushed in and tore Marco limb from limb.
And he died. But not really.
But Big Jim noticed us right away. He climbed heavily down from his perch on a rock ledge and took a good look at us through the bars. Big Jim was definitely big. He had fingers the size of my wrist, but Jim didn't seem to mind us being there. Mostly, he seemed interested in Marco's Adam's apple. Sorry, that's just Marco's apple. He looked Marco over, snorted like he wasn't impressed, then held out his hand.
Hand him the apple.
Cassie directed.
He wants the apple. I loved your work in King Kong vs. Godzilla.
Marco told the ape. He stuck his hand through the bars and held out the apple.
Loved his work in King Kong. No, it's Godzilla vs. Bambi. No, it's King Kong vs. Bambi.
It's Godzilla.
Shame on you.
It's Godzilla.
Godzilla versus Bambi.
He wasn't in that one. Godzilla was.
Well, I feel
stupid.
With surprising daintiness, the gorilla lifted the apple and began inspecting it closely.
Hold his hand,
I said.
Yeah, right.
Marco laughed.
When you acquire the DNA, the animal goes into a kind of trance,
I said.
Go ahead, grab his hand and concentrate.
Marco tentatively touched the gorilla's wrist.
Concentrate, Garza. Nice, monkey.
The gorilla ignored him. Big Jim was much more interested in the apple than in any of us.
Concentrate.
Rachel urged. Marco closed his eyes. The ape closed his eyes.
This is so cool.
Tobias commented.
You realize that gorilla could pull Marco apart like he was a paper doll? Look at those arms.
Marco opened one eye.
Tobias, being terrified gets in the way of concentrating. So, how about you shut up about those big arms?
And Big Jim got ticked off.
And went, raw, crunch.
No, he didn't.
On the apple. Suddenly, I heard a whirring sound. I looked down the hall, then back. It was one of those electric carts, like a golf cart. It was coming toward us.
Do we have anything, like, really, really fast and cool and stuff?
That's not their style.
Okay, we're gonna get it to just keep continuing.
Oh, well, here it is.
It was coming up towards us. That was Matt's line.
Yeah.
Just act natural.
Cassie hissed. Marco slipped out, and she slammed the door on Big Jim.
As long as it isn't a security guy, we're probably okay.
The cart came up to us. Its driver was a man wearing a stained tan lab coat over his jeans. In the back of the cart, there were two large white plastic buckets full of something brown and horrible smelling.
Hey, you're Cassie, right? The docks kid. How's it going? Fine,
Cassie said.
You should wave. Join the sharing.
She waved casually, and the man drove right on past.
Hey! Well, that was easy,
Rachel said.
He didn't even, you know, seem to care we were back here. Well, where to next?
Cassie wondered. We were at a four-way corner. There were blank, white-painted hallways in all directions. An electric golf cart was parked there, too.
What are we near?
I asked.
I asked.
Okay, I'm just gonna...
I asked.
I'm just gonna... Cassie thought for a moment.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, that walkway leads to the outer exhibits. That one leads to the offices and storage facilities. These two go around the main building exhibits. We're close to... Let me see. Bats, snakes, that way. The jaguar and dolphin tanks, that way.
I want to morph a car.
Haha. Rachel started down the hallway to our right.
Dolphins? I love dolphins. Wait.
Cassie said, trotting after her.
What are we going to do with dolphin morphs? I think we should go out the big exhibits.
Marco said.
Let's get serious about this. We need firepower. Come on. Let's stick together.
I said as Marco started down the hall. I reached out to grab him before he got too far away. And that's when the voice yelled.
Hey! Hey! You! What are you kids doing back here?
Just looking for clues, sir. I saw a guy in a brown uniform.
Security!
Cassie yelped.
Oh, man. They'll take us all into the office. They'll call my mom. I do not want to explain this to her. Split up!
I said, trying to sound like a leader.
Just like at the construction site. One guy can't get us all.
We're going to hit the pause button for a second.
Just a second.
We're going to load amazingly awesome music.
What track is it? Don't worry.
What track
one.
Is it?
Don't want.
One has bad lyrics.
Turn okay, down. I apologize.
No, go to six.
Six has bad lyrics. No, six is recommended. This will work.
Okay.
It'll work. Ba-dum-bum. Play!
It was play!
No.
Oh, there we go. Where were we, though? Oh, this is so depressing. We need to actually do good at this next time.
This is boring. What are you talking about? We're doing one.
One's good. Turn it down. Alright. Split up. Okay. This guy
just
looks
go
like
back to,
this guy looks like my grandfather.
Hey, you kids. We'll start there.
What?
Hey, you kids.
No, that's way back there.
No, it's right at the top of the page, 136.
Hey, hey, you, what are you kids doing back there?
I saw a guy in a brown uniform.
Security!
Cassie yelped.
Oh man, they'll take us all into the office. They'll call my mom. I do not want to explain this to her. Split up,
I said, trying to sound like a leader.
Just like at the construction site. One guy can't get us all. This guy looks like my grandfather,
Rachel said.
Not like that Hork Bajir that was after us.
You kids, hold on!
Oh man, oh man,
Cassie said. With that, she took off down one hallway. Rachel and Tobias went after her. Marco was already 20 yards down the other hall, the one that led to the large exhibits. I ran to catch up. The guard reached the corner. I saw him glance toward Tobias and the girls. Then he looked at me and Marco. I guess Marco and I looked more suspicious. So he... because he chose us.
Stop! You kids better stop!
Let's grab the golf cart,
Marco said.
Steal a golf cart? We don't take it. If we don't take it, that guard will. Good point.
We jumped in the cart. Marco slid behind the wheel. He turned the key to on. He looked at me.
Just like driving bumper cars, right? Only you try not to hit anything.
He put his foot down on the pedal. The electric motor made a whirring sound, and we took off, straight toward the wall.
Bam!
Hey, try steering.
I yelled. We backed up and took off again. We picked up speed, enough to pull away from the guard, but when I looked back, he was still jogging after us.
Sorry. He's going to have a heart attack,
I said.
Which way? What? Which way?
I turned around to face forward. We had reached a T-corner.
Right,
I yelled. Naturally, Marco turned left. I nearly fell out. We reached another corner. This time, Marco chose right, and I did fall out of the cart. I hit the linoleum and rolled. Then I was up and racing to catch the cart.
What are you doing?
Marco demanded when he saw me.
Quit playing around!
I just gave him a dirty look and climbed back in.
I think we lost the guard,
Marco said.
I'm fine. Thanks for asking,
I said.
Just a few bruises. Maybe a cracked skull. Nothing serious. Where do you think we are? I think we are in the longest tunnel I've ever seen,
I said. It was more and more like a tunnel now. The floor was still linoleum and the walls were still whitewashed, but the lights were getting more spread out, so you definitely had the feeling you were underground.
I wonder if they caught the others,
Marco said.
Now, do you see why it's crazy to think we can beat the Yerks? I mean, come on. We can barely beat zoo security. We haven't beat anyone yet,
I said grimly.
Look!
Way up ahead, there were two guys in brown uniforms.
Maybe they don't know who we are,
Marco suggested.
They might think we're regular employees. Maybe. But not if they get a good look at us, I pointed. Oh, sorry.
I pointed.
There's a turnoff. Take it.
We turned. At the same time, the guards started yelling. The side porta grew narrow. Too narrow for the golf cart.
Ditch it!
I jumped out. Marco jumped after me. We could hear the guards' footsteps as they ran down the main tunnel. These guys were in better shape than the old man. These guys could run. The corridor ended abruptly. There were two doors, one a little to the left, one a little farther to the right. They were labeled P201 and P203. No help at all.
Pick a door,
Marco said. I took a deep breath.
Door number one,
I said, and opened P201. A blast of fresh air hit me. Sunlight blinded me. I blinked, tried to get my eyes to adjust. The rhinoceros blinked, too.
Ah!
I yelled. Ah! Marco yelled. We jumped back and slammed the door.
Wrong door. Definitely
Marco,
wrong.
I agreed.
Hey, you kids, stop right there.
The guards were just at the end of the corridor.
Gotta try door number two,
I said.
Do it.
We opened the door and ran through. There were trees all around us. Trees and grass. We were in the shade. Sunlight filtered down through the leaves. Just ahead, the bushes gave way to open grass.
Where are we?
Marco asked.
Like I know.
We worked our way through some bushes, keeping a careful eye out in all directions. We didn't see any animals, just some birds up in the trees.
Hey, there are people,
Marco said. He dropped down behind a bush and pointed. There were people lined up behind a railing. They were high up, or else we were low down. I parted the bushes to get a better look. The people were leaning against a railing at the top of the high concrete wall. They couldn't see us because of the bushes, but they were definitely all staring at something.
We're definitely in one of the habitats,
I said.
Those are people looking at whatever is in here with us. I'm just hoping it isn't that rhino. That thing was way too big. How do we get out of here? I don't know. Let's just get away from the door. Those guards will be coming after us any second.
But you know, in the back of my mind, I was thinking, why haven't those guards come after us yet? Marco and I crawled through the bushes and around the bases of the big trees. We reached a corner of the wall, hidden from all the people above.
is an awfully high wall,
Marco observed.
That's gotta be 30 feet high. This is not good. That wall is high for a reason. There is something in here that they do not want to escape.
I scanned the wall. There was a steel ladder set into the concrete about 50 yards away.
I guess that's the only way out. Let me ask you something,
Marco said.
Why haven't the guards come after us? I mean, if this was like the deer and antelope exhibit, they'd come right in, wouldn't they? We have to think, not panic. I am trying not to think about why the guards didn't come in here.
I moved back into the shadows of the bushes.
Besides, maybe there's nothing in here at all.
I squatted down on my hunches. My butt touched something warm. I had a terrible feeling right at that moment. I looked up and saw Marco. Normally, Marco has a kind of dark, tan face, but his face was white, and his eyes were very large.
Marco?
I said, very slowly and very quietly.
Is there something behind me?
He nodded.
What is it, Marco? Funny thing, Jake. It's a tiger. Alright, we're back. Sorry. We have to break at the cool points or else you'll, you know, get used to us not screwing off.
Yeah. Chapter 20.
I'll do narration.
Okay.
A male Siberian tiger, to be exact. 10 feet long, 700 pounds of deadly speed and unbelievable power. And a phone call.
You're on Animorphs.
The radio drama.
Uncensored.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Just gotta say, that suspense thing and then going right to the commercial was awesome. See? Nicely done.
Thank you. Thanks, dude. Thanks.
Talk to you guys later.
Yep.
Later, dude.
Sweet. Continue.
You know those old Tarzan movies you see on TV sometimes where Tarzan is wrestling a tiger and actually winning? Let me tell you something. You want to know what your chances are of wrestling a tiger and coming out alive? They're about the same as your chances of jumping off the Empire State's building and happening to survive.
I've done that before. I have an idea,
Marco said shakily.
Let's leave. Don't run,
I said.
It might just get his attention. I think he's noticed us,
Marco said.
I think he knows we're here, Jake. I think he's looking right at us. Look at his teeth! Crikey!
Oh, Steve.
Moment of silence. Moment of silence.
Good. Hold me, Matt. Hold me.
Let's go. Kyle, you hold me.
No!
Why, Steve? Why?
Don't freak out. I have an idea.
I said. Marco said. Somebody said.
The morphing, if I acquire him, it'll put him in a trance. Acquire? Acquire what? You can't acquire anything about him. He's the acquirer. You're the acquiree. He's going to acquire your butt for dinner. He's going to acquire you and spit out your bones.
I swallowed hard. I tried to touch the tiger, but my hand was shaking too much. I took a couple of deep breaths. I heard somewhere that's supposed to calm you down. I guess it works. Unless you're practically sitting on a tiger, then absolutely nothing calms you down.
Nice tiger,
I whispered. He just watched me. He had this lazy...
Who cares?
Look. This look of total, complete, absolute confidence. Almost like he thought I was funny. Like maybe he enjoyed watching me shiver and shake.
Please don't kill me,
I said.
Don't kill me either,
Marco added. I reached my shaking hand toward the tiger. His eyes followed my hand. I touched his flank. It rose and fell with his breathing.
Concentrate,
Marco whispered. It was already concentrating. I was already... It was already concentrating real hard on eating me.
We have gone now to a third-person narration.
I was already concentrating real hard on the tiger. I was concentrating on his teeth. I was concentrating on the rippling muscles under his pale orange-black pelt. I was totally concentrating on the fact that he could swing that big, massive paw of his and send my head flying across the grass like a soccer ball.
Go, you pee!
Then the tiger's breathing slowed. His eyes fluttered a little and slowly closed.
He was wooing the female tiger that was watching us.
How long does this trance last?
Marco whispered.
Well, about 10 seconds after you break contact. That's what it was with Homer. 10 seconds? 10 seconds? Yeah, so be ready to run. I've been ready to run.
I started to pull away, but then I hesitated. It was a strange moment because right then I realized what I was doing. It hit me. This tiger was becoming part of me. All that power and confidence was becoming part of me. And I knew just then that I could tap into that and become the leader that I knew I should be. That was all at it.
He's beautiful, isn't he?
I said. I expected Marco to say something sarcastic, but he said...
Yes, he's magnificent.
Then he added...
But let's get out of here before he shows us why he's king of the jungle. That's lions,
I said.
They're supposed to be king of the jungle, but let's not tell him that. You ready?
He nodded.
Now!
I yelled. I jumped up and we tore for the ladder. In my head, I was counting off the seconds. 1-1,000, 2-1,000, 3-1,000. Something moved, fast, and an orange and black blur! Right then, I realized it. Duh! There was more than one tiger in the habitat. I heard screams coming from the spectators above. I guess they could see us now that we were out of the bushes. Marco leapt and grabbed the rungs of the ladder. We scrambled up. I was about 1/10 of a second behind him. The tiger leapt. His claws scraped the concrete just inches below me. And then he let out a roar that made me, the rungs of the ladder, vibrate in my hands. Turned up to an extreme amount because that's kind of quiet.
Okay, let's get to try this again because that sound effect didn't work out. Take it from and then.
And then he let out a roar that made the ladder, the rungs of the ladder vibrate in my hands. Roar! What a noise! It echoed and reverberated and made my insides turn into liquid. Marco practically flew up the ladder and over the side of the wall. I flew right after him. It's amazing how fast you can climb a ladder when there's a tiger roaring for your blood.
There they are!
Someone yelled.
Get them! Stop!
Guards, at least three of them.
They're not actually Hork-Bajir. Should we morph?
Marco yelled at me.
No, just head for the crowds. There, over by the dolphin tank.
It was a close call. But we made it to the big crowd just a dozen feet ahead of the guards. From that point, all we had to do was hunch down and squirm between all the people till the guards lost sight of us. We worked our way to the front gate, always crouching so our heads wouldn't show up above the crowd.
What did you do, morph into a midget?
It was Rachel. She was right in front of me, looking amused. Tobias and Cassie were there, too.
The guards were after us,
I said. I had almost stopped shaking from my close encounter with the big cats. Almost.
Oh, quit playing around, Jake.
Rachel said.
Let's get out of here. I have to be home for dinner.
It turned out the other three had not been chased at all. They lost the guards easily and had just gone on acquiring morphs while Marco and I were risking our lives in the tiger habitat. The most annoying thing was that none of them even believed our story. Marco and I were a little resentful over that.
I would have been.
We climbed on board the bus and practically collapsed into the seats.
We could have been killed!
Marco said, pouting.
Really, I'm telling you, it was down to a few inches. Yeah, whatever,
Rachel said.
Don't obsess over it.
After all, we still have tonight to deal with. Whatever danger you think you had today, it will probably be nothing next to what's going to happen tonight.
Cassie shook her head. Sorry.
Tonight.
Cassie shook her head.
Tonight.
Tonight.
And I haven't even thought about studying for that math test tomorrow.
Neither have I.
That's heat transfer.
Rachel laughed.
He may not have to worry about tomorrow. Thank you, little Miss Cheerful.
Marco muttered under his breath.
Chapter 21.
Where have all the good men gone?
No.
Where
close, though.
Where have all the flowers gone?
Where have you been all afternoon and evening?
My mom asked as we sat down for dinner. My family is very old-fashioned about dinner. We all have to sit at the table. No TV. My mom's a writer, so she hates TV unless it's one of her favorite programs.
Where have we been?
I repeated the question.
Hanging out. You know, hanging with Marco. I don't know why you bothered to ask,
my dad said.
His answer is always the same. Hanging out.
So what did you do at work today, Dad?
I asked him.
Hung out,
he said. He gave me a wink and we all laughed.
awkward.
I glanced over at Tom. He was eating chicken.
Cacciatore.
Thank you. Like the rest of us laughing. He seemed so normal.
You don't think anything. You doing anything tonight, Tom?
I asked him.
Why?
I tried to look casual.
You know, I was thinking maybe we could shoot some hoops.
I said.
Maybe you could teach me some new moves. And I could take another shot at making the team.
Sorry, man.
He said.
I have things to do tonight.
Like what?
I asked.
Hanging out. No doubt.
That's his
mom. Well, maybe she's a hippie. a surfer, too. Hanging out, no doubt.
My mom said.
Eat the broccoli, Jake. It's good for you. It's full of trace minerals and vitamins. You can't get anywhere else.
The more you know.
Liars. They're all liars.
You can get it from cow, too.
Oh, you are a bum. Okay.
I said to my mom.
You know how much I love trace minerals.
I popped the smallest piece of broccoli I could find and tried to gag it down. I guess it wasn't any worse than eating a live spider.
I love how they're pulling in the classic, like, little kid, I hate broccolis, you know, to set their age.
Yeah.
So, Tom, what was it you said you were doing?
I asked him again. He gave me a dirty look.
Do I have to check in with you now? I have things to do. Is that okay, little brother? A girl?
My dad commented.
I know these things. I'm a doctor.
No, Dad, not a girl, I wanted to say. A yurt pool.
Yeah, doctorate history. Gosh, Dad.
What's a yurt pool, Mom? Well, it's kind of a long story. I decided to try one more time. I guess part of me still refused to believe what Tom was.
Maybe you're just afraid to shoot hoops with me. Maybe I'd kick your butt.
Yeah, that's it. Happy now?
Tom sneered. His gaze met mine. Was there some sign in those eyes? Some evidence of the selfish, evil creature that had been controlling him? No, I wish there had been. But there was no way to know who is a controller and who isn't. No way. It's what makes them so hard to stop. They can be anyone, anywhere. Even a person you think you know, a person you admire, look up to, love. Cassie. No, not yet. I broke my gaze away from Tom's and looked down at the food. A few minutes later, Tom got up to go. I knew where he was going. After he left, I went to the upstairs phone where my parents couldn't overhear me. I called Marco.
He's on his way,
I said. I called Tobias and Rachel. I tried to call Cassie, but I got her mother instead.
She's not in,
my mom said. She sounded worried.
She wasn't home for dinner. She went out to feed some of the animals and didn't come back.
My stomach clenched.
She's probably just out riding one of the horses.
I said, trying to reassure myself as much as Cassie's mom.
You know Cassie.
All the horses are in their stall,
she said. I took a couple of deep breaths. Something was wrong. What happened to Cassie?
I'll look around for her.
I said.
Don't worry. I'll bet she just saw some injured animal or something and went off to rescue it. You do know Cassie.
I'm sorry. I said again.
I'm excited. Wow, you need to stop being...
All dude, right. You know what's going on?
I know what's happening! Stop it! You're ruining your message.
Okay, sorry. Dude,
yes. I'm sure she's fine.
Right. She was about as sure as I was. But what could I do? The plan was to set to attack the yurt pool and rescue Tom. Maybe Cassie was already at school, waiting. Maybe. I had a very bad feeling as I rode my bike to the school.
Which all good leaders will have.
I hid the bike across the street the way we had planned. Then I hooked up with Marco and Rachel. Watch my levels.
Awkward. Cassie's missing,
I said.
And where's Tobias?
Rachel pointed up at the sky. The sun was setting fast, but I could see Tom circling high overhead.
That would be Tobias. Tom's not an animal.
I could see Tobias circling high overhead.
Yeah, I thought I'd possess
what is the matter with him?
I exploded.
He's got a 2-hour time limit, and we don't know how long this is going to take. Maybe we should bail until we find out what happened with Cassie.
Rachel said.
Could be she's just scared.
Marco said.
I am.
Maybe.
I agreed, although I doubted it. But they could. They say you never know what's going to be... But they say you never know who's going to be brave or cowardly in a battle. I just hoped I wasn't a coward. The truth was, my mouth was already dry and my heart was already pounding. And we hadn't even done anything yet. Tobias swooped down and perched on Rachel's shoulder. It surprised me a little. Why would Tobias perch on Rachel's shoulder? And she didn't even seem at all annoyed.
This is the first Hawkward moment because he is in Hawkmoor.
She rubbed her head against him a little.
Okay, well, this is the second.
She rubbed her head against him a little.
Oh, it's so thick.
Right in the middle of this. Oh, my God.
Touch it.
We've only got 2 minutes. We got it.
Okay, where are we? Oh, my gosh. Are we doing this or not?
Tobias asked. This was not starting off right at all.
Come on.
Read that paragraph again.
This was not starting off right at all. The bad feeling in my stomach was getting worse. Cassie was missing. Tobias already morphed. Everyone was looking at me, waiting for me to decide.
Yeah, we're doing it.
I said. The school was locked up for the night, but Marco had taken care of that little problem. He knew of a window in the science lab that didn't lock. We crawled into the science lab through the window. It was dark except for the dying light of the sun that glinted off the glass beakers. Ooh, and the test tubes.
The imagery.
Tobias drifted through and landed neatly on the teacher's desk.
Let me take a look.
I said. I opened the door as slowly as I could and peeked out through the crack. I could see down the nearly dark hallway to the janitor's closet. Instantly, I pulled back.
There are people out there,
I said.
3 people heading into the closet. Controllers?
Rachel said.
I guess it's dinner time for Yerkes.
None of us thought that was very funny.
That's not very funny.
How are we going to get in there?
Marco asked.
Wait a minute,
Rachel said.
Do all the controllers know each other by sight? I mean, maybe we're controllers, right? So we just walk right in like we belong there?
Marco asked.
Wonderful plan, Rachel. I have a better idea. Let's just kill ourselves now and get it over with. Maybe Rachel's right,
I said.
Maybe? Big maybe.
Marco pointed out.
Huge maybe. What about, or how about Tom? Huh? He would know whether you were a controller.
I cracked the door again and looked out.
I think Tom's already down there,
I said.
Besides, the hallway's empty now. I guess they all...
Suspense. Get the suspense up.
Go. I fell silent. Wait, here comes someone.
I stared. It wasn't easy to see the faces in the gloom. I could tell there were 2 people. One was wearing a uniform. It was the controller policeman, and he was rudely yanking someone along with him. I could see that it was a girl. I didn't really want to see any more.
Tobias,
I said.
I need you to use your Hawkeyes.
Tobias fluttered over and stood on my shoulder. He peeked his fierce head out in the hall and then drew back.
Yes,
he said.
It's her.
I felt like the floor had opened underneath me. Marco grabbed me because I looked like I was about to fall over.
They have her,
I whispered.
The controllers. They have Cassie. Why'd you stop?
Because it's chapter 22.
Chapter 22.
Who has Cassie? How?
Rachel stammered.
That policeman. That policeman. The controller. The one who came out to Cassie's farm. The one who was at the sharing meeting. He has her. He saw her at the meeting, trying to get close to the full members.
Rachel let go of a few choice words.
Oh, sir.
We hadn't even started, and already everything was a disaster.
Okay,
I said grimly.
We go ahead. Like Rachel said, we figure there are too many controllers for all of them to know each other. I mean, they add new bodies all the time, right? So maybe... We're new controllers, right? Oh, man.
Marco moaned.
You have a better idea?
I snapped.
No,
he said.
I think we go ahead. We take our chances. Let's rock and roll. Okay.
What was that?
Then everyone act cool.
I looked back at Tobias.
Too late for you to morph back now, but try not to let them see you.
Rachel, Marco, and I stepped out into the dark hallway. My legs were stiff. My knees were rickety. I was walking like Frankenstein, trying to look casual. We headed for the janitor's closet. Fortunately, no one else was in the hallway. We entered the tiny room and stepped inside. I tried to recall the sequence for opening the faucet. Opening the door. Faucet to the left, then twist the second hook around right. The door swung open. There was a noise. There was more noise than there had been the other day. Or maybe it was just that my human ears heard it better than my lizard head, ears had. There were was a deep sloshing, swooshing sound. Almost like gentle surf breaking on the shore. But that wasn't the nice sound. The other sounds were horrifying. Despairing cries, terrified screams, shouts, shrieking, triumphant laughter.
You sure this is the Yerk Pool?
Marco said in a nervous, shaky voice.
I see a guy with horns and a pitchfork, and I'm out of here.
I stepped into the opening. The stairs were steep and there was no rail, so you felt like you were about to pitch forward with every step. We descended together. The door closed automatically behind us. At first, I guess I expected there to be maybe a couple dozen steps, but the steps never ended. We just kept walking, and there were always more steps. The walls were dirt, then quickly became rock as we went down, down, down. It felt like those stairs would never end.
Some superior aliens,
Marco whispered.
You'd think they could have put in an elevator.
We all giggled a little, very little. Suddenly, the rock walls widened out. We had emerged into a huge cavern. And when I say huge, I mean huge. They could have played the Super Bowl in there and had left room over for a couple of malls. It was like a giant bowl turned upside down, all carved out of solid rock. At the very top of the bowl was the faint outline of a hole. I thought I could see stars through it. All around the outer edges of the cavern, I could see other stairways, like ours. They seemed to come from every direction, appearing out of the rock walls and leading down to the floor of the cavern. We clustered closer to the center of the stairway. It was a sheer drop off the side. It was a sheer drop off the side of the stairs.
This is gigantic,
Marco said.
This isn't just under the school. This is under half the town. Those stairways must lead up to a dozen secret entrances.
He shook his head.
Jake, they have this entire area set up with secret passageways. Oh, man. This is worse. This is so much worse. So much bigger.
I felt the same despair. We were fools. This wasn't some little group of alien bad guys we were dealing with. To build this underground city, these guys had power we couldn't even imagine. That's almost what it was. A city. There were buildings and sheds all around the rim of the cavern. We could see yellow caterpillar earth movers and cranes at work on the far side of the cavern. They seemed weirdly normal in this incredible place. And there were creatures everywhere, taxons, Hork-Bajir, and other things I couldn't even begin to guess at. But mostly there were humans, a lot of them. At the very center of the cavern was a pool, like a small lake, maybe 100 feet across and perfectly round. Only the water wasn't exactly water. It moved like melted lead and was about the same color. The sloshing sound we could hear was the liquid of the pool being rippled and splashed by hundreds of moving, fast-moving things below the surface. I knew what they were, Yerks. Yerks in their natural slug-like state. They were swimming and cavorting in the pool like kids on a hot day.
Cavorting.
Yeah.
Who says that?
Near the edge of the pool were cages, and the cages were Hork-Bajir and human beings. Some of the humans screamed for help. Some of them cried silently. Some just sat and whispered, all hope lost. There were adults there, and kids, women, and men, more than 100, packed 10 to a cage. The captive Hork-Bajir were kept in separate, stronger cages. They paced and howled and slashed at the air with their bladed arms. I almost lost hope. I felt like my heart had stopped. This was a place of unimaginable horror, and we were so few and so weak. Below us on the stairs, I could see the controller cop and Cassie. He was dragging her roughly whenever she stumbled. They had reached the bottom of the stairs.
I'm going to morph,
I said.
I'm going to get Cassie away from him.
Marco put his hand on my shoulder.
Not time yet, dude. Be cool. Cassie's okay. She isn't hurt, just scared.
Tobias said.
You'd better not hurt her,
I said.
Keep an eye on them, Tobias.
There were two low steel piers built over the pool. On one, Hork-Bajir controllers politely guarded a line of humans and Hork-Bajir and taxons. This was the unloading station. One by one, the people knelt down, bent over, and dipped their heads toward the slimy surface of the pool. The Hork-Bajir helped them. As we watched, a woman calmly bent over, her head just inches above the lead-gray pool. A Hork-Bajir held her elbow gently to help her keep her balance. Then we saw the thing dribbling, sliding, squirming, crawling out of her ear. A yerk.
Oh, no.
Rachel moaned. She sounded like she might be sick.
Oh, no. No.
When the yerk was all the way out of the poor woman's head, it dropped into the pool and disappeared beneath the turbulent surface. Instantly, the woman cried out.
You filth! Let me go! Let me go! I'm a free woman! You can't keep doing this! I'm not a slave! Let me go!
The two Hork-Bajir grabbed her. They dragged the woman to the nearest cage and threw her in.
Help! Help!
The woman screamed. Anyways,
oh geez.
Sorry guys, but guess what? The hour has come. Oh, it is now 12 o'clock.
You can't do this.
Oh
to
my
me.
God, I don't want to do this to me.
No, hold on. I say we try and
no,
get,
we can't. We can't.
We get no, five we callers to call no. in and tell us to keep going. Oh,
we'll play we gotta play a PSA song or not?
No,
a
we've already gotten four. We've already
we gotta play a PSA.
Show.
We have play
to
shelf.
Play another play
okay.
Shelf.
Okay,
so
we'll play that right now.
Five callers will stay on and finish
and finish the book because it's sick. Okay,
so we're back, and
we got two phone calls, but one of the room had a bunch of people in it, we swear. So we're going to keep going.
Okay.
Oh, wait, chapter 23.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, chapter 23.
Help! Please! Help! Somebody help us!
We had been hearing cries like that all the way down those steps, but now we were close enough to give the cries a human face. It cut straight through my soul.
Nice.
There was a second pier. That was the loading station. There, the host bodies were dragged from their holding cages to have the yerks re-enter their heads. It was a pretty basic process. They grabbed the host, whether human or Hork-Bajir, and forced their heads down into the pool. The people sometimes fought and screamed, and sometimes just cried, but they always lost when their heads were yanked back out. Yanked back up out of the pool. We could see the slug still slithering into their ears. After a few minutes, they would become calm again as the yerks regained control. Then off they went, once more slaves of the yerks. It was a horrible assembly line from the unloading pier to the holding cages. To the infestation pier. They moved the poor victims right at a pretty speedy rate. But there was another area we could only now see. There, humans and Hork-Bajir waited on comfortable chairs, sipping drinks and actually watching TV. Taxon squirmed around like gigantic spiny maggots. I heard the faint sound of a television set. I was sure I could hear laughter from the humans. They were watching the show and having a good laugh.
Those are the voluntary hosts,
Tobias said.
Collaborators. What are you talking about?
I demanded.
You remember what the Andalite told us? Many humans in Hork-Bajir are voluntary hosts.
Tobias replied.
The Yerks persuade them to let them take over. I can't believe that.
Rachel said.
No person would ever let this happen to them. No one would ever give up control of themselves. Some people are scum, Rachel.
Marco said.
Sorry to burst your balloon. The Yerks convince them that taking on a Yerk will solve all their problems. I think that's what the sharing is all about. People believe that by becoming something different, they can leave behind all their pain. Like spending all their time as a hawk?
Marco pointed out. Tobias had nothing to say to that. Oh my gosh, that's incentive. He spread his wings and flew up and away.
Tobias, come back!
I called to him.
We have to get moving.
Rachel said.
We have been standing here staring for too long.
She looked at Marco.
Don't be a jerk to Tobias, okay? We need everyone.
Tobias came swooping back toward us.
Cassie,
he said.
She's on the pier. The infestation pier. They're going to turn her into a host.
With my normal human eyes, I couldn't see that well in the purple gloom. I could just make out the cop's uniform and the small shape beside him.
Do you see Tom?
I asked Tobias.
In answer, he flapped his powerful wings and gained altitude. I saw him high over the pool. Then he came back toward us in a power dive.
I see him,
he said. I hesitated before asking. I wasn't sure I wanted to know the answer.
Is he in a cage? Or is he voluntary? He's in a cage,
Tobias said.
He's yelling his brains out at the Hork-Bajir guards. Yes!
I knew Tom would never have gone voluntarily. I knew they must have taken him kicking and punching.
Cassie is getting near the end of the pier,
Tobias warned.
We only have a few minutes before they infest her.
It was time. We were at the bottom of the steps. We ran over to hide behind a storage shed of some kind. Marco pulled me around the corner, drawing me close so that I could hear him whisper.
Look, before we do this, there's one thing, Jake, you have to promise me.
I knew what he was going to say.
If I have to die, okay? Don't let them take me. Don't let them put one of those things in my head. It'll be okay. You!
A voice yelled. A human voice.
You two, who are you?
I spun around, a man, just one man, but beside him, flanking him, was a Hork-Bajir looking suspicious. And on the other side, a taxon. Somehow the man hadn't seen Rachel. She was just around the corner of the building, but he had seen Marco and me talking. I guess it hadn't looked quite right to him.
Us?
Marco asked.
Who are we? Who are you? Take them,
the man ordered. The Hork-Bajir advanced on us. The taxon slithered forward on its dozens of sharp spiny legs, red jelly, eyes quivering, a mouth opening and closing in anticipation. I knew I had to morph, but I was frozen with fear. Then I saw Rachel. She had gotten around behind the controllers. And she was very... very... very large.
Chapter 24.
Rachel was getting larger very fast. Huge leathery ears sprouted suddenly from the side of her head. Her nose stretched and stretched till it was longer than her body and had been to start with. Her arms and legs were big as tree trunks. And from her mouth grew two enormous curved teeth. My cousin Rachel now stood almost 13 feet high and weighed about 14,000 pounds. The weird thing is, I was happy about all this. I heard Rachel's triumphant laugh.
I did it!
The Hork-Bajir and the taxon came closer. Rachel began twitching her little ropey tail. Her front legs pawed the dirt floor of the cavern. She raised her massive head and stuck out her 3-foot-long tusks. The taxon was the first to notice her with his all around red jelly eyes, but I guess he didn't know how to react. Rachel charged. One minute she was standing there, and the next minute she was barreling forward like an out-of-control 18-wheeler. The Hork-Bajir was fast. He spun around and slashed at her trunk with his elbow blade. Too little, too late. Rachel was moving, and no little flesh wound was going to stop her.
Puny little nothing,
Rachel cried, outraged.
You attack me?
The Hork-Bajir went down, crushing under her monstrous feet. He bellowed, but Rachel's trumpeting was louder. The taxon tried to run. It turns out taxons can move out when they want to. It also turns out elephants are faster than you think. They can be very fast. Rachel's foot caught the taxon's back end. The needle legs collapsed, cracking like little broken twigs. Yellow goo oozed from the popped flesh of the big worm. She just kept rolling over him, leaving behind a big, extremely disgusting pile of goo. The foul smell of the squashed taxon nearly knocked me out. The human was still just standing there. He said,
"An elephant?"
He couldn't even think about it being real. Rachel wrapped her trunk around his middle.
Oh, yeah.
We heard Rachel say.
An elephant.
The man screamed. I guess he figured out it was real. Rachel threw him through the air. I never saw where he landed.
Quick!
I yelled at Marco.
Morph! Nice work, Rachel.
Marco said.
Remind me not to ever make you mad.
I focused on the tiger. I knew his DNA pattern was in me. I thought of him lying there in his habitat at the gardens, wishing he were back in the jungle, hunting and taking down his prey. I guess maybe he wouldn't mind the use I was making of his DNA. This was quite a jungle, but it would have to do.
This wasn't quite a jungle, but it would have to do. More Hork-Bajir are coming, Rachel said.
Rachel turned to face them, tusks ready. I felt the morph begin.
The hair grew from my face. The tail squirted out behind me. My arms bulged and rippled. They were massive. My shirt ripped. I fell forward onto my hands, now my front legs. The power. It was electric. It was like a slow-motion explosion. I could feel the power of the tiger growing inside me. I watched claws, long, wickedly curved, tearing, ripping, shredding claws. I grow from my puny human hands. I could feel the teeth sprouting in my mouth. I grew. My eyes looked through the darkness like it was broad daylight. But most of all, the power, the sheer incredible power. I was afraid of nothing. The Hork-Bajir was running at me, their arm blades slashing at the air. I opened my mouth and I roared. The Hork-Bajir stopped dead in their tracks. That's right, my little Hork-Bajir friends. The human part of my brain thought, time to meet the tiger. My muscles in my back legs coiled up. I bared my teeth and gave them another roar, loud enough to quiver the ground. I leapt through the air, claws outstretched.
Chapter 25.
I sailed through the air and struck the closest Hork-Bajir in the chest.
Down he went, with me on top of him. He rolled over and tried to get up. He was fast. I was fast. He struck at me with his razored arm. I ducked under the blow. My paw swung so fast I couldn't see it. I left four oozing cracks. There are tracks across the Hork-Bajir's shoulder. Another Hork-Bajir. Wrist blades, elbow blades, and talons whizzed. They were like a pair of lawnmowers on full throttle. And still I was faster. I can't even remember what happened next. All I have is this image of the tiger, of me, with claws slashing and jaws snapping. I was a whirlwind of orange fur and black stripes. The Hork-Bajir fell back. I roared. They turned and ran. On one side, I saw Rachel. She lifted a Hork-Bajir up on her tusks and tossed him back over her shoulder like he was a doll. And then I saw Marco. Big Jim's massive body was ripping its way out of Marco's slight frame.
Just call me King,
Marco said.
King Kong.
The truth is, like Cassie said, gorillas are very gentle, peaceful, quiet creatures. The truth also is that they are strong. Real strong. Basically, compared to a gorilla, a man is something made of out of toothpicks. Now, Hork-Bajir are pretty large creatures. They stand about 7 feet high and are built for trouble. But Marco swung one big gorilla fist and hit the nearest Hork-Bajir in the stomach. The Hork-Bajir went down, and hard. I roared. Rachel trumpeted. Marco lifted the Hork-Bajir up and tossed him aside like a rag doll again. The rest of the Hork-Bajir turned and ran.
Now!
I shouted.
Before they get organized again!
We charged. Rachel just plowed right through some of the small sheds and buildings like Godzilla heading for Tokyo. Marco came lopping along, swinging his massive forearms.
Loping.
It's L-O-P-I-N-G, lopping. Stop loping. Interrupting!
Loping!
Punching! It's loping. Anything that got in his way. Whatever he punched, stayed down. And I ran right down the middle, looking for any controller dumb enough to mess with me.
Bring it on!
We reached the cages. The people and Hork-Bajir inside shrank back from us. They were almost as afraid of us as they were of the controllers. Let's face it, a rescue party made up of an elephant, a gorilla, and a tiger is not what they'd been hoping for. Marco began ripping at a lock on one of the cages. The lock gave way. The door flew open. Marco did something very human to reassure them. He made a little bow, then crooked his finger at them and as if to say, "Come on out." Tom was the first out. He looked scared and mad and determined. I was going to send him a thought message, telling him who I was. But suddenly, there was Rachel screaming in my head.
Jake!
Rachel said.
Look, Cassie!
Cassie was nearly at the end of the infestation pier. The Hork-Bajir and Taxon guards were still sticking to their duties as I watched another human was shoved headfirst into the yurt pool.
Cassie's next!
I cried.
Don't worry,
Marco said.
We'll take care of Tom. Go, before they do it to her.
I hesitated for only a second as 1,000 thoughts went through my head. Later, I would think about that moment. Think maybe, if only. I broke into a run. I had to get to her. As I watched the two Hork-Bajir on the pier grab Cassie by the arms.
No!
she cried. I tore at full speed. I leapt over taxons. I dodged around Hork-Bajir. I practically flew, but I couldn't really fly. Not the way Tobias could. I saw him, high, high up in the cavern. Down he came like a bullet. The talons came forward. Tobias hit the first Hork-Bajir about 50 miles an hour. He swooped away, leaving the alien clutching at the slimy mess where his eyes used to be.
Okay, try the enemy. There it is.
Oh, man. That was all Cassie needed. She broke away and ran back down the pier. I finally got there and went after the remaining Hork-Bajir controller. Morph!
No, morph!
I yelled at Cassie.
Morph and head back for the stairs!
She looked at the other humans and Hork-Bajir behind her in the line.
Run! Run, all of you!
They did. Run! They did. Cassie plowed into the panicky crowd. Moments later, a black-maned head appeared above the shoulders of the crowd. Cassie had become a horse and was racing for the stairs. I started after her, racing back around the pool toward Marco, Rachel, Tom, and the crowd of hosts that they'd freed from the cages. The controllers were starting to get organized. A group of taxons were slithering out to stop Cassie and me. Both the Hork-Bajir and the taxons were carrying weapons now.
Up and over,
I said to Cassie as we neared the line of taxons.
Up and over,
she yelled back. That might be awkward. I leapt. Cassie jumped. Side by side, we sailed over the startled taxons. They fired their handheld Dracon beams. But too late. The beams sizzled the air behind us, and we blew past. Oh, gosh, that was hard. I could see Rachel's towering gray bulk just ahead. The stairs were near. I saw Marco with Tom. We were going to make it. And then... he stepped out daintily from a group of Hork-Bajir. He seemed almost harmless in his andalite body. A gentle, half-deer, half-human-looking creature with bluish fur and an extra set of eyes on comical stalks. Visser 3 didn't look all that scary, not compared to the Hork-Bajir or the taxons, or even our own human earth animals. Our own earth animals, not human. But Visser 3 had an andalite body. He had an andalite's power to morph, and he had been all over the universe acquiring the genetic patterns of monsters like nothing ever seen on Earth. A taxon slithered up beside Visser 3 and spoke. It was a weird half-whistling sound.
Swear to Sirestro.
Visser 3 said nothing. He just looked at me. With the vertical slits that were his eyes.
This taxon fool says that you are wild animals,
Visser 3 said.
He wants to know if he and his brothers can eat you,
he said. He laughed silently.
But I know you are not animals. I know who and what you are. Not all of you Andalites died when I burned your ship.
It took me a couple of seconds to realize what he meant. Then it hit me. Of course. He thought we were Andalites. He'd guessed that we were morphs. That we were morphs, not real animals. And he knew that the Andalites were the only species with morphing technology.
I compliment you on getting this far, but it will accomplish nothing. Because now, my brave Andalite warriors, it is time. Time to die.
He began to morph.
I acquired this body on the fourth moon of the second planet of a dying star. Like it?
I realized I'd been wrong to be hopeful. We were not gonna make it.
Chapter 26.
From Visser 3's andalite body, the creature grew, tall as a tree, towering over even Rachel. 8 massive legs. 8 long, spindly arms, each ending in a 3-fingered claw. And from the place where the top set of arms grew came the heads. Heads, plural. 8 of them. This creature had a thing for the number 8. Even the Hork-Bajir controllers backed away. Even they didn't want to be near Visser 3 when he morphed this way. But the taxons edged in closer, crowding around their leader like a pack of hungry dogs, looking for table scraps. I was frozen in terror, stunned. Even the tiger that was part of me was confused and worried. I had started to think that with our morphed bodies, we could take on anything. But we couldn't take on this monster, not and survive.
Run!
I yelled to the others.
Up the stairs!
Cassie nudged two of the humans from the cages and tossed back her head. They figured out what she wanted and climbed on her back. Then she galloped toward the stairs.
Yes, run!
Visser 3 crowed.
It makes a more challenging target.
Then Visser 3 struck. From one of the heads, a round spinning ball of flame erupted. A ball of flame that flew like a missile. It skimmed through the air and splatted against the back of one of the women riding Cassie. Oh, sorry, that's you. She fell off, screaming and rolling around to put out the flames.
Stop, drop, and roll! Stop,
Cassie
drop,
kept
and roll.
Going with only one rider. She reached the base of the stairs.
Target practice!
Visser 3 laughed. She fired fireball after fireball, one head after another. One singed my shoulder and flew past. One hit Rachel in the ear and made her scream in my head and trumpet in terror. The air was full of fire.
We gotta get out of here!
Marco yelled.
Yes, run! Run for the stairs!
I repeated.
Rachel, get moving! Clear a path!
A big swarm of us was heading for the stairs, but the taxons had closed in around us. Anyone that got away from the Visser 3 was swarmed over by the taxons. I saw Tom out of the corner of my eye. He was swinging his fists at a pair of taxons that were circling around him. Tom couldn't hurt them, but he was trying just the same.
Yeah!
Rachel ran over and plowed into one of them, crushing him beneath her tree trunk legs. Marco threw his arms around the second taxon and twisted till it split open, spilling its putrid guts all over the floor. Rachel had hit the bottom few stairs and stopped. Elephant bodies are great for some things, but they are useless for climbing stairs.
Morph back!
I told Rachel. Machel. She began to shrink almost immediately, but there wasn't time to wait until the morph was complete. Rachel started up the stairs as a shifting mass of gray and pink, part human, part elephant, staggering on weird, half-finished legs, and dragging a shriveling trunk that made her pretty face into something awful to see.
We
ran, but it was impossible. By the time we had climbed a few dozen stairs, there were only a few free humans and two free Hork-Bajir with us. The rest had all been recaptured or burned. A fireball exploded at my feet, and I snarled. But still, we retreated. We were 100 feet up the stairs when the last two freed Hork-Bajir were brought down by Visser 3's fireballs. They fell in flames. The Visser 3 was climbing the stairs now, all alone. He was so big he barely fit on the stairs. I knew when he reached the point where the walls closed in around the stairs that we would be safe from him, from Visser 3. Glancing up, I saw that Cassie was almost to the safety above us. Wow, I'm struggling. With one human rider, the rest of us, along with Tom and a pitiful handful of freed humans, were bunched together. Visser 3 began pelting the staircase ahead of us with fire. We were trapped. Fire ahead, Visser 3 himself behind.
No,
I heard a familiar voice say.
No, you filthy creep. You aren't going to win this time.
It was Tom. All alone, he charged the at Visser 3. Armed with nothing but his fists, one of the Visser's arms came down and swung at him.
Tom!
I cried. My tiger body roared with all its might. But the sound was lost in the noise of crying humans and whistling taxis. I saw Tom stagger from the Visser's blow. I saw him fall from the edge of the stairs. I went a little crazy. I was on the Visser before I knew what was happening. On him, digging my claws into his flesh, I twisted up and behind one of his 8 heads, the tiger in me knew what to do. I sank my teeth into his neck and clamped my powerful jaws and held on. Another head turned back and aimed a fireball at me. I dodged the first fireball. The second burned my flank. I jumped clear. The Visser roared in pain. I roared in hatred. I ran up those stairs with 100 nightmares on my heels.
Chapter 27.
We ran. Exhausted and burned and terrified, we ran. Fister 3 had made one mistake. He was too large in his morph to follow us much farther up the stairs. I heard Fister 3 yell something as we finally got away. He said,
"I'll kill you all, you Andalites. Run away, it doesn't matter. I'll kill you all.
And your little dogs, too.
And your rebel band will be pitiful."
And stuff. Actually, I think it did matter. We hadn't exactly destroyed Fister 3, but we had come out of it alive. We Animorphs. The final count was exactly one freed. The human who rode Cassie's back up out of the hellish pit. And Cassie had gotten away clean. It had been the suspicious controller policeman who had grabbed her. He was the only controller to know her name, where she lived, and that she had been spying on the sharing. Cassie said we didn't have to worry about him anymore. She didn't want to talk about what had happened to him. As for Tom, my brother, Tom was not freed. I was lying in my own bed, shaking and shivering and crying from the after effect of terror, when I heard him come home later that night. He never knew that I was the tiger. He never knew how close I had come to freeing him. He was a controller again. The yerk was in his head once more. Cassie and Marco and Rachel and I had all made it up those stairs. We had emerged into the hallway of a school that would never seem the same to us again. And Tobias, he survived too. It was almost morning when I was awakened from this dead sleep by feathery beating on my window. I opened it and Tobias flew in. "Oh, you made it," I said. "Oh, man, you had me scared. I figured you were still trapped down there. I mean, I thought you could probably find somewhere to hide in that cavern, but I knew you'd been morphed for a long time. I was worried you wouldn't be able to morph back without getting caught. It's good to see you, man."
"Good to see you too, Jake. How are the others?"
he said.
"Alive."
"Alive," I said.
I guess that's all that counts. Yes, that is all that matters. "Come on, Tobias,"
I said.
"Morph back. You can stay here. I'll even let you have the bed. I could sleep on nails, I'm so tired."
He didn't say anything. And I guess in my heart I had known it all along. I just didn't want to admit it.
"Come on, Tobias,"
I said again.
"Morph back. Jake, just come on. Back to human now, dude. No more flying tonight." "I hid in the cavern for a while,"
he said.
"They didn't see me, but I had to stay out of sight till I could get out. Jake, it took too long. Too long, more than 2 hours.
I just stared at him, at his laser-focused eyes, at his wicked beak and sharp talons, and at his wings, at the broad, powerful wings that let him fly.
"I guess this is me from now on,"
Tobias said. I knew there were tears falling down my cheeks, but I didn't care anymore.
"It's okay, Jake. Like you said, we're alive."
I went to the window and looked up at the stars. Somewhere up there, around one of those cold, twinkling stars, was the Andalite homeworld. Somewhere up there was hope.
"They'll come,"
Tobias said.
"The Andalites will come. And until then..."
I nodded and wiped away my tears.
"Yeah,"
I said.
"Until then, we fight."
We'll be right back.
everybody. For those of you still listening, we're going to be heading over to the Cove, you know, to, you know, celebrate the end of a book. Some of you always show up, you know, to talk about what happened and stuff like that. But hopefully you're still listening to KDUP 1580 AM or on kdup.up.edu, extension 7121 for those on campus, or 503-943-7121 for those on cell phones or out of town. Thanks a lot for listening, and we'll see you all next week for Animorphs,
the radio drama. We'll be reading book 2, The Visitor. Awesome.